you needed. We found out about this the same time that I suppose the rest of America found out about it, both on the internet or the next day in the news. So, you know, I don't know how to tell any other way except knew nothing about it, sir.
Kane denies harassing anyone. Greece's prime minister is backing off plans to hold a referendum on an international bailout of his country. Ryan Avent of The Economist says he was no doubt under pressure from the leaders of France and Germany.
They're the leaders here. They're providing the sense of where things are going. And if they begin to become more concerned or more worried about the state of the negotiations, that's, I think, a reason to feel for everyone else to feel a bit more panicked.
Prime Minister George Papandreou faces a confidence vote today amid calls from some lawmakers that he resign. The case is now in the jury's hands at the Conrad Murray trial. Prosecutor David Walgren says Murray's doctor-patient relationship with Michael Jackson was more like that of employee-employer.
Conrad Murray corrupted that relationship, and for that, Michael Jackson paid with his life.
The defense claims Jackson overdosed on propofol on his own. Still 400,000 customers without power thanks to last weekend's snowstorm in the Northeast. 22 deaths are blamed on the storm. It'll be back to the bargaining table this weekend as the NBA and its players' union resume contract talks. The season's already been canceled through November 30th. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy new Martha Stewart Living Carpet and get it installed for just $37. You also get lifetime stain and installation warranties. So it's never been easier to completely transform a room with better carpet at a better price. It all starts with $37 installation on Martha Stewart Living Carpet. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, we'll test them fast and free on most vehicles. If the best way to test your battery was to place our tongues directly on your old battery, we'd do it. We have a machine that's far more accurate. Need a new battery? We'll install it free with purchase using our hands. No machine can replace those. Service is our best part.
For a few years now, Google has been trying to gain a foothold in the TV business with its recently relaunched Google TV that brings video from the internet onto your TV screen. But this is different. Wall Street Journal reports Google is seeking to become a full-scale competitor of cable companies, pondering a plan to test bundled TV, internet, and phone service starting in Kansas City. It's talking to Walt Disney, Time Warner, and Discovery Communications about obtaining channels. For the first time this morning, we'll be giving you the ups or downs in the stock price of Groupon. The Daily Deals website priced its initial public offering late yesterday, raising $700 million at $20 a share. That's more than the predicted share price range. The stock will trade on the NASDAQ, ticker symbol GRPN. Asian stock markets rallied 2 to 3% following word Greece's European debt rescue referendum is apparently off. European indexes rising modestly. S&P futures are at break-even. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I've been riding since I was 17, flat out my whole life, had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I'd have taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
This season, when you trade in your old tangled-up Christmas lights at the Home Depot, you'll get up to $5 off a brand-new string of holiday LEDs. They'll burn even brighter and use up to 80% less energy. So to find a lower energy bill under the Christmas tree this year, just bring in your old lights, working or not, for up to $5 off a new string of LEDs. More saving, more doing.
That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through November 13th, U.S. only. Limit 5 for customers. See store for details.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries. Oh, no. We install them fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. And we mean fast. If strapping on an experimental jetpack would help us install your battery any faster, we'd do it. Unfortunately, jetpacks can be squirrely. Too bad, because we really wanted those things. Fast, free battery installation at Advance. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Yay, it is. Yay. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Yeah. It's Friday. Yeah, that little yay thing isn't going to work. That's not the booyah between thing, between and booyah. I don't know. I'll find it. I will. Hello, everybody. Good Friday morning to you. Thank you for punching in this early morning. I do appreciate it. We have a great show lined up for you today. Actually, we've got a guest in this hour. We normally don't, but Reg Davis of the Detroit Charter Commission, one of the commissioners, will be with us to share his point of view on the Charter Commission. Of course, that big election is Tuesday, and we'll check in with Reg Davis. A.J. O'Neill from the Assembly Line Party punches in at 7:05, and we're going to talk about the Soapbox Summit tomorrow at A.J.'s Music Cafe in downtown Ferndale. I will be moderating that. You are welcome to join us, and we'll get into that. 7:35, Jeff Watrick with MLive.com will be with us. He's been writing about the Fecano, Wayne County, Mullen, Severance Gate story and its aftermath. So he will check in with us to give us the latest scoop on that. And there is news in that area, of course. We'll check in with our Occupy Detroit guest at 7:50 and then at 8 o'clock, as he does every Friday. Our political insider, partner at Main Street Strategies, Joe DeSano, joins us on First Shift. We got a full load today.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Today's first word is transparency. You're going to hear that word a lot, especially as it relates to the Wayne County scandal. Bob Fecano let some people go yesterday, and he said that he is, of course, trying to be more transparent. Transparency, so you see through, so you don't have to wonder and guess. You know, this show, I think we're very transparent of what we're about. We're a liberal, left-leaning, activist-centered radio program. That's transparency. It's not always that simple. As you all know, anybody that's in a relationship, you know, are you transparent? Does he or she really know what's going on, if you know what I mean? Transparency. It's something that actually should be, you know, part of your everyday, method of doing business. But it is not, as we know. Transparency is today's first word. Word up, Jeff Radford. Word up. Good morning, Mr. Producer.
Well, good morning.
Yeah, it's that little button. You click that, and then your voice can be heard in the, through the microphone.
I was just talking to the replacement traffic and weather lady.
Jillian.
She's out in the hall.
She's awesome.
I had to
awesome.
Make sure that... make sure that we're on the same page.
She's awesome. She a lot of energy, that young lady. Digger. People will be hearing her in just about 7 minutes or so.
She voices a lot of stuff for our show. So.
Yes, she does. And she'll be doing more as we're getting ready to put some holiday stuff together. Jeff, it's that time of year, whether we want it. I have a feeling you're fighting the holidays, and I don't know why you are, but I get that distinct feeling.
Fighting them?
Yeah, it's like, you know they're coming, but, they'll get here when they get here. Don't push me kind of thing.
Right, yeah. Well, as a kid, you always look forward to it so much that I started, as I got older, trying to, like, not get as excited as early. And then it just kind of sneaks up on you, and then bam, it hits you.
It's okay to get excited about the holidays. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Nah, not when you're older.
Why?
I don't know. It just doesn't feel the same.
Well, it should.
I think you know what it is well, I don't have any kids or anything, so...
We need to get you paired up.
So I can have a kid?
Well, no, not
okay,
necessarily.
I was just bringing up the kid thing.
I think it would be nice if you had either a man or a woman. I'm not telling you who to date. No, I'm not suggesting...
There we go.
I'm not suggesting that.
You mentioned you grow basil, and the next thing you know...
Well, I'm just saying... it would be nice for, everybody should have somebody to share their life with. And, you've been single for a long time now.
Anyway, the holidays are sneaking up on us.
Yeah, and so it's important that, we need to fix you up for the holidays.
How about those wings?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So if anybody would like to date Jeff.
No, come on.
Tony at thetonyshow.org.
You sound a lot like a coworker of ours that has approached both of us.
A matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Listen, I just want the best for you. That's all. You're a good, solid individual, and you deserve to be with someone.
Well, thanks. I think my parents would agree.
I'm sure they would. I know your mother's anxious for grandchildren.
No, not anymore. She's got a dog.
So it was that simple.
That's it. That was the decision. She was like, I give up on him, getting a dog.
Oh, Mom, don't give up on him yet. He's only 31. I mean, there's no rush. Is there?
No, not for me, apparently.
No, apparently not. Well, you don't put yourself in a situation. You don't have a schedule where you're going to meet members of the opposite sex.
There's a schedule for that?
Well, yeah, there is.
I'm working at a good place, the radio station. In fact, Jillian is a very nice young lady. There's tons of them around here.
Why don't you ask her out?
No.
All right, whatever. I'm going to give up. Okay. So, yes, the Red Wings lost last night again. I understand they were booed off the ice, according to Anthony. I have no reason not to believe him. Disappointed to hear that. Disappointed that they lost. I don't know what else to say about that.
Right. Yeah, it's the first time in NHL history that a team started out as hot as they did, 5-0, and then lost their next six games. I don't know, how it's probably such a random stat that, but it is incredible to see a team that was all gears were running properly, well oiled, and then suddenly. They can't buy a victory.
Yeah, and what's that all about? Because it's not like they don't have talent.
Well, apparently it's the offense. It's not necessarily so much the defense. So it sounds like as soon as it's easier to fix offensive woes than defensive woes. So, start throwing more pucks at the net, and it only takes a couple of lucky bounces to get back on track.
All right, well, I'm not in panic mode. I don't think they need to make wholesale changes or look at starting to trade people or anything like that. But, they've lost six in a row now. That's not fun. That's not fun at all. But Justin Verlander puts another feather in his cap yesterday. Major League Baseball Player of the Year, as voted by his peers. He was awfully honored by that.
Yep. Well, it's a no-brainer. I mean, he had a heck of a season. Now we'll see if the real award comes.
He'll get the Cy Young. You're talking about the MVP.
Yeah.
Well, the Cy Young's the real award, isn't it?
For him, yeah, I suppose. For pitchers, it is. But, again, that's in the bag already. I mean, is there anyone that can touch him?
No. No, I mean, not at this point, of course. No, I mean, he's a shoo-in for that.
And I said, I was on record as saying back in the middle of the season, I don't think you'd give it to a pitcher, but there's nobody else that separated themselves so much hitters-wise. I mean, you're going to give it to a less-than-hitter just because he's not a pitcher? This season was all about Justin Verlander as far as you're concerned in the AL.
You're not going to get an argument out of me.
So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they've given the award to pitchers before, and he was pretty dominant. I think it would be interesting to see it come this way.
Oh, it would be cool. It would be very, very cool. I'm just, you know, glad to see that he's getting so much recognition. And by the way, I also read this morning that he's donating $100,000, $50,000 to, $50,000 to do two different veterans organizations. One of them is a hospital. I don't remember what the other one was. I'm sorry. I just don't remember. But it's awfully, I mean, not that he can't afford it, because he can. But he doesn't have to. He's not compelled to donate money, and I think it's wonderful that he does that. In fact, for those that aren't aware, Jeff and I, as I'm sure you are, he provided all season long tickets to military veterans, and he did that for the entire season. That's something that he did for every game.
He's a pretty nice guy. Yeah. The Tigers got a lot of them, too. I mean, Brandon Inge and his family are real charitable people as well.
Yeah, his wife's actively involved.
Janie, yeah.
Yeah, in charities. And I know that when Governor Granholm was governor, the Inges were involved. So I'm assuming that he's a Democrat. I'm just assuming it because they did a lot of stuff through the governor's office, which is great. But, yeah, no, we've got, I think, very, civic-minded professional athletes in Detroit, no question. A lot of Detroit Lions are extremely engaged in charities.
So the lottery came through for the Michigan basketball team yesterday.
Yeah, what's this kid's name, Mitch McGarry?
Mitch McGarry decided to go to Michigan.
And that was, they announced that on national television, on ESPNU, which is pretty cool. Now, of course, it's not official till he signs his letter of intent, which he may not do for a while, Jeff, I understand, because his parents live in Indiana, and it's a coordination thing. He's in Virginia, right? He's going to a school in Virginia, I believe.
Brewster Academy.
Yeah. And so it may be a while before he signs his letter of intent, but I don't think we have any reason to be concerned, right? He said it. He's going to do it.
Sounds like, I mean, kids change their mind all the time, but you make something that official, and from what I've heard behind the scenes, he's just tired of the entire process, just wanted to have it done and over with. So.
I'm sure. That would have to be daunting. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We do have a guest at 6:35. We have a lot to get to today. If you want to join us, you're always welcome, of course. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thank you for punching in this early Friday morning. Don't forget, tomorrow night we set those clocks back. Yay, an extra hour of sleep. We'll be back. This is 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us just don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still no accidents or slowdowns to worry about for your drive to work this morning. Just look out for your normal construction projects. I'm Jillian, and you're listening to Home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance, no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot. Just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF shingles, quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is therapist Leo Battenhausen, author of the brand new book, Defeating Depression, The Calm and Sense Way.
Well, first we have to realize a big part of our personality and our very being can be taken right from us at any given time, especially with a long-term career we've been in, or even a short-term career where we're providing food and housing for ourselves or our family. So a big piece of us goes into a shock phase when we are either laid off or become unemployed. But we have to remember that true happiness is not something that can ever be taken away from us if we have it within. So, you know, we have to be careful with putting our happiness into our jobs or into our things, because anything can be taken away from us. But we have to understand, too, that it's an opportunity to rebuild ourselves. And most studies show that happiness can come from people who reinvent themselves and find themselves in a different career if their ability to stay in their long-term career is taken from them.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
At the JCPenney biggest sale of them all this Friday and Saturday, the savings get even bigger with JCP Cash. Get $10 off when you spend just $25. No exclusions. Go to jcp.com to see everything on sale. JCPenney. Sephora inside JCPenney now participating offers end November 5th.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back 22 minutes after the hour. Of course, we don't have Lions football this weekend. That makes it easy. But Michigan State do indeed play football, and they both need to win to stay up in that ever-elusive race for the conference title. Jeff and Anthony, I'll bring you both into the conversation. I got to tell you, I'm blanking here. I don't even know who Michigan State's playing tomorrow.
Minnesota?
Yep.
Yeah? All right. Well, come on, guys. I need a little prognostication from you.
All right. You go first, Anthony.
What game are we picking? The Michigan?
Michigan State first.
I mean, obviously, I think they're going to win. I mean, Minnesota's obviously not a good football team.
So you're going to go with Michigan State? You want to give me a spread on it, or just go Michigan State straight up?
At least two touchdowns.
Okay.
At least.
Jeffrey Radford?
I don't know. Do I want to give you a spread? I don't think I want to do that. At home, Minnesota. Minnesota's not entirely bad. They did beat Iowa last week. But, no, they're going to beat them. I mean, Michigan State's solid.
You don't want to give me a score?
Two touchdowns. How's that?
So you basically what Anthony said.
What did he say? Okay, three touchdowns then.
Oh, sweet.
I'll add another one. How's that? Michigan and Iowa, though, that'll be a good game.
You know,
right?
For someone that's so sports-centric as you are, you make this part of the program really difficult, and I think you do it on purpose.
Hey, I'm just giving you what I think.
Yeah, sure you are. Okay. All right, well, now let's go to Michigan. Michigan plays Iowa tomorrow, right?
At Iowa.
Does that matter?
Apparently, did you know that Big Ten teams are 8-15 on the road this year?
Are they really?
In conference, 8-15 on that's what the road teams fare.
Okay, well,
so that just plays a part into it. Just putting it out there.
Well, it does. I guess it plays a part in it.
There's only been if you count big wins, Michigan State went down to Ohio State and won, and I think Wisconsin might have a big win on the road. Other than that, it's been, you know, what you think wins the game, you know, the home team, the dominant home team wins.
All right. Well, so give me I'm going to go with you first this time, Jeff. Michigan Iowa.
Oh, Iowa's terrible. I'm going with Michigan.
Okay. Michigan by
I'll say just 7.
All right. Oh, why so close?
Because it is on the road.
It is on the road.
But, you know, Iowa, it's funny because since 2006, Iowa has been a double-digit favorite 9 times. And more than that, 28 times. But 9 times they've lost. And last week they were a double-digit favorite and lost. Now, the game immediately following a loss when they were a double-digit favorite, they've lost to Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. And I think maybe it was Michigan State, something like that. Anyway, they always look ahead to the game. They're looking ahead to Michigan. They got stung by Minnesota. Now they're going to get stung by Michigan again at home.
Okay. And Anthony, give me your Michigan-Iowa score.
I'll do Michigan by 10.
All right. I haven't really paid attention, so it would be unfair of me. I would just be jumping on a bandwagon to give my predictions because I hadn't really paid attention this week. To be honest with you, I have a show to run. I know, it sounds kind of crazy, and I should be thinking sports all week, but I just didn't have that chance this week. Of course, the Lions do have a bye week. I'm going to give you a little shocker in my world anyway. I think the Packers are going to lose to the Chargers on Sunday.
That would be incredible.
I really believe that.
What makes you think that?
It's just time. They're 7-0. They're ripe for a loss. It's not like, you know, San Diego's 4-3 right now, and they're not a bad football team. They're by any measure, they're not a bad football team. And, you know, it's the old any given Sunday, and I think that they're just going to step it up this Sunday. And, you know, they need to win. San Diego needs to win. They don't want to be 4-4. I think they're going to pull it out. I really believe that.
It's Philip Rivers, though. I mean, he's been really bad.
Yeah, I think they're going to do okay this week.
I shouldn't say really bad, but he's the reason why they're 4-3 and not better.
Well, I feel like there's a victory there. And I'm very excited about the Thanksgiving Day game between Detroit and Green Bay. If you, as I'm sure you do, and I've read some of the national stuff, Sports Illustrated, Sporting News, a couple other publications are, you know, saying that if, you know, indeed, and most are claiming that Green Bay will be undefeated going into that Thanksgiving Day game. If that's true, of course, that game takes on a new significance for both ball clubs. But certainly, you know, Detroit's going into Chicago next week, and that's a critical game on the road against a division foe. We've beat them once. I think we certainly can beat them again. I don't question that at all. It would be great to go into that Thanksgiving game, with an undefeated Green Bay team, because I think it just adds some drama. But I don't think Green Bay is going to get through the weekend without a loss. So we will see. We will see indeed. All right. We've got Tom, and God bless Tom. I just love him. I get more emails on Tom. And Anthony, what does your older brother say about Tom all the time?
It's his favorite part about the morning.
Favorite part of the morning. So, Chris, if you're out there, Tom's on the line. Let's bring him on the show. Tom, in Detroit, welcome back. It's always great to have you.
And good morning. And you lit up my life, too. I thank you and the folk for the compliment. In terms of, you know, making their day, to use that term. But I want to talk about, you know, what's going on down in Washington. I mean, here the legislators, the lawmakers down there, they're still sitting there just like Nero fiddled while Rome burned. And that's what they did when they turned down this infrastructure improvement thing that they voted on. I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday. Once again, and let's just point out what we're talking about, Tom. Mm-hmm. You know, last week it was teachers, firefighters, and policemen the Republicans said no to. This week it's about infrastructure.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and I mean, there was $1 billion that was going to come here to the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, and what really irks me is because, you know, it's a political season now. And, you know, Mitch McConnell, and my main objective is to make Obama a one-term president. I mean, come on, man, get real. The people in this, some people in this country, and it's enough of them, they are hurting for want to get back to work. And, you know, I just don't understand that mentality that you would sit there and hold on to, you know, partisan politics and party ideology and let people, I mean, some of them are literally, you know, kind of like dying on the vine because they're not working, they can't afford to pay their mortgages. And I mean, families are breaking up because of a dollar bill that these folks would just go ahead down there.
Well, and no question, that's true, Tom. The word of today's first word was transparency. It should be transparent what the Republican agenda is, which is deny Obama any kind of opportunity to move the country forward.
Exactly. And, I mean, the bottom line comes down to this. There are more than just Democrats that are being affected by this. Republican supporters are affected by this. Independents, Green Party, or whatever party that you're a member of. If you've got a family or yourself who, for particularly no reason of your own, you've lost a job. Okay.
Yeah. And Tom, we got to get to the break. But thank you, as always. Have a great weekend. Reg Davis on the other side, talking charter. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This total traffic update is brought to you by McDonald's. Right now, still no accidents or slowdowns out there, just your normal construction projects. Today, you can expect a high of 52 degrees and partly cloudy. Tonight, a low of 36 and clear. Right now, it is 39 degrees. You're listening to Home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stop by McDonald's today and start collecting McCafe rewards points. Points are available on all medium and large hot McCafe and premium roast coffee cups. Collect 5 points and your 6th beverage is free. Start collecting points today. McCafe rewards, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Tell me with whom you walk, goes the old adage, and I'll tell you who you are. Maybe you're wondering just who the heck this Rick Perry guy is, this loud-talking, slow-thinking Texas buckaroo who says he should be your president. His PR storyline is that he's just a straight-talking conservative politico out of Paint Rock, Texas. But it's been ages since Perry walked with the good folks of Paint Rock. Now in his 27th year in political office, this guy has consistently walked with Mr. Money and been the loyal servant of the corporate powers. Let's take a peek at Perry's piggy bank. Not his personal money, though it is curious how he became a millionaire while doing nothing but government work. Rather, check out the Texas Enterprise Fund, a stash of some $400 million tax dollars that Governor Perry has essentially used as a political slush fund. TEF is supposed to be a cache of state cash for him to dole out as incentives for corporations to create jobs. But its job creation performance is somewhere between pathetic and a scam. The fund has, however, been a boon for Perry's re-election campaigns and for the coffers of his corporate benefactors. For example, 20 of the governor's top corporate donors that have put a total of $6.5 million into his electioneering pockets have been rewarded with a stunning $116 million in TEF handouts. In a recent analysis, the watchdog group Texans for Public Justice found that Caterpillar gave $124,000 to Perry and got more than $9 million from TEF. Lockheed Martin put $232,000 in Perry's pay-to-play scheme and got $5 million back in state money. And GE put in $640,000 and got $4 million from the fund. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get the full report on Perry's piggy bank, go to tpj.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trion on 1310 WDTW.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Friday morning, as we have spent a considerable amount of time on the new Detroit charter, the question, Proposal C, which will be on the ballot this upcoming Tuesday, there have been a lot of opinion. Let's just do a very quick audio update on a Fox 2 piece, and then I've got a guest for you. So go ahead and hit that audio, Jeff.
Proposal C is a revised city charter for the city of Detroit, governing the organization of city government.
What's in the new charter that's not in the old charter? Overarching theme, ethics, vision, and better government.
The charter requires contractors to disclose political contributions and an ethic board that could fine office holders. Also, the charter establishes an inspector general for city government and deficit reporting. Recycling would be required across the city.
In a depressed economy, how can you grow yourself with jobs out of a depressed economy? Citywide recycling is good for the environment. Other progressive cities do it, but it also leads to jobs. It's good for our economy.
The proposed new charter gives the city council confirmation authority over major mayoral appointees, the heads of the law, planning, and human resources departments, along with the police chief and fire commissioner.
Council President Charles Pugh opposes the new charter. He wants more power for the city council, including confirmation for 8 department heads involved in providing city services, and the council given authority to remove department heads.
By a supermajority vote, 6 votes, 6 no votes means that you as a department director have been ineffective. You haven't run your budget properly, you haven't managed the staff properly, and you have not been responsive to the people. The council members need that hook.
The proposed charter would allow council members to approve their own chair. Now the top vote-getter becomes council president. Elena Harada, the only Hispanic on the Board of Education, argues there are too many unknowns in the proposed charter.
We could lose control of the water, we could lose control of our pensions, and we could lose control of being able to name the president of the council. Those are too big, I think, for most Detroiters.
If the proposed charter fails, another can be proposed by the commission.
And so that is the question. Joining us now, Reggie Reg Davis, Charter Commission member, and I appreciate you being with us this morning.
Good morning, Tony Trupiano. Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Reg, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Listen, we've spent a lot of time on this issue, and we have had the vast majority, 98% of the people that have called from the city of Detroit have said no to this question. Where, as a Charter Commission member, Reg, where do you stand on this?
Well, Tony, you got to remember, first and foremost, you're speaking to a young man who is not a career politician. I am not a lawyer. To go into the epitome of policymaking of a document, the city charter, it encompasses a team of lawyers. It's pretty much law. You got the career politicians at the table. I am one who does not have a set of agendas like our chair and her 4 little buddies that together they have 5 votes to go wherever they wish to go with this charter. You got to remember that first before you start asking questions to me. Understand that I am simply a young man from Joy Road and Dexter on the west side of Detroit. Had a dream to be on the radio, just like you. I've done radio for 28 years. I am a voice for the people, and I represent a constituent see of children, seniors, the have-nots, the working class, those that catch the bus to and from work and home every day, the returning citizens, the grassroots. That's who I'm a voice for. So when I sat at that table, the reason why I am the one and only out of the 9 members to stand against it is because the principle that I stand on, Tony, truly represents the people, the way that it's supposed to be, a democracy of the people by the people. They say it, but they don't do it. So it's a different picture that I had at that table. So I just wanted to say that first, but I say vote no. You know, and a lot of people say I'm out of line by doing that. But at the same time, I say, Tony, that that line has been going the same direction for a long many years. And look at the end result every time. The neighborhoods on the west side, the east side, blighted homes. You got 30 to 40 homes on a block. Half of them are burnt down. They're blighted. There are people squatting. They're no good to us. The school system, the violence. I lost my baby brother to gun violence in 2001. He was a good kid, didn't deserve to be murdered. But another young man who didn't have a father, an older brother, to teach him the difference between wrong and right and steer him in the right direction, they took my brother's life. So I said, I'm not going to be a politician. I never will be. And I am to this day, I'm not a politician. I am literally the people at that table with those politicians and lawyers. So I say vote no, because that document does not best represent the people of the city of Detroit.
All right. Well, and that's fair enough. And certainly you, that is the one thing that, you know, when you were elected to the commission, I thought, okay, finally, you know, there's going to be a voice, a set of eyes, a set of ears, a brain that is not establishment. And you're not establishment.
No.
And you're proudly not establishment. I think you've established that well enough. And so as we move forward, as we get into Tuesday, is it important for this audience to understand, are there specific reasons? Because there's not just one, of course, Reg. There's not just one reason why you're encouraging people to vote no. What does this charter not do that you feel it needed to do?
Good question. And that's entirely why I'm standing against it. It's not what's in that document, because I will be honest with you, Tony, if you take that document and you put it next to the current charter, city charter, it is a lot better. It's pretty tough to get in office and get carried away with cronyism and nepotism and waste and fraud and malfeasance. Yeah, so, but at the same time, it's not good enough, and I refuse to settle for anything less than the best for Detroit. And here's one of my points. Something that wasn't included in that document. We had a major, major battle at that table. I remember it was myself, especially, and Ken Coleman. He would always lift up the document, the current charter, and say, framework, framework, framework. Let me tell you, Tony, this is 2012. That document is no longer only a framework. If you look at many other major urban cities, let's take Oakland, California for one. Oakland, California, Tony, in the year 2005, they were on the list, same list that Detroit was on, as far as murder capital, most dangerous city, kids killing kids. And we were number one, and two or three, and we were like top three, they were top ten. In 2009, Tony, the city of Oakland, California decided to think outside of the box and think about how they can be a progressive city and curb the problem with their children. And in the document, you right now punch it up online, get the charter, city charter for Oakland, California. They have a piece called Kids First in the city charter of Oakland, California. Kids First. And what happens with Kids First, Tony, is they take 3% of the general fund. It goes towards helping kids with issues like health, education, and violence. Since 2009, when they put that in the charter, only a couple of years ago, Oakland, California, Tony, listen to this, has witnessed a dramatic decline in youth violence and a major increase in graduation rates. And the city credits their charter for that change. You've got many a city. You go to Washington, D.C., they have in their charter a piece that deals directly with the disability community. The disability community has an office via the city charter in the city of Washington, D.C., which takes care head-on with issues dealing with the disability community of Washington, D.C. The disability community of Detroit came before our board, and they said, we would like a piece in that charter. If not an office, how about a commission in which cities, other major cities like San Francisco, Boston, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, they have it set up in their charter commissions which deal head-on with the issues of the disability community. Our board said no. They said no to that. They said no to building a charter about our children. And that's what I'm appalled by. I'm appalled at my fellow colleagues at that table, and I'm not afraid to call them at all to call them elitist. because they are an elitist group of people who have agendas before we came to that table, and I don't appreciate that. And the way I stand for the people that I described to you earlier, especially the children, I say vote no on that particular document.
Reg, I guess what I'm hearing you say is that the new charter doesn't address issues that relate to the youth in our community, and let's call it... let's call it birth to 12th grade. It doesn't deal with that group at all. And then beyond that, those that are in that period between, the senior and high school and whatever, 21, 22, 23, does the new charter propose anything? Does it focus on that age group at all? Does it provide any relief? Does it provide any leadership?
You got a piece in that newly developed charter language about the Citizens Advisory Council, in which you have members of this particular district to sit on the board. In that piece, there is a seat for a youth member between the age of 13 and 17 to address youth issues, and they will be appointed to that seat. However, this whole thing about the Citizen Advisory Council, you have to sign petitions. You got to go through an entire process to get it done. So it's not just etched in stone that that's going to be in your particular district. That's one piece, but again, it's not enough. I propose at that table to come up with an idea that we could basically do like mock elections in schools and prepare to bring civics back to the educational, the foundation of our city and the schools, and get these children ready to become the leaders of our community. They weren't prepared for that. That board is not, they're terrified, they're scared, they want that document to be only framework the way it was in the 50s and 60s. This is 2012. We have to think outside of the box. Our children are killing each other. We're still number one. The last time it came out, you saw it the day it came out. I did too, Tony. The city of Detroit is the murder capital again. We're still top three on most dangerous city. Kids killing kids. We're number two, three. It's the same thing over and over again.
Hey, Reg, hold that thought. I got to get to a break. So stay with me. You understand these breaks. Let's take the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back and wrap it up on the other side. So stay with us. Reg Davis, Charter Commission member, former radio show host, activist, common sense, clear-headed leader. Imagine that. We'll take a break. We'll be back. This is First Shift.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Curtis Ellis, Executive Director of the American Jobs Alliance. Tell us, what is the American Jobs Alliance all about?
Individuals across the country who care very much about having jobs in the U.S. and care very much about having a healthy domestic manufacturing base and domestic service base. That is, let's just talk turkey here, put it straight, not outsourcing. We can't be having everything made around the world and imported into this country. Americans have to produce what we use. We have to be producers as well as consumers, or else we'll never get out of the financial mess we're in. We're a post-industrial service economy. I don't have to tell you or your listeners what that's done to this country. You're at ground zero there in Detroit. We have grass growing in the streets of major cities. Cities have never seen a depopulation like this since the Black Plague swept Europe.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We don't have a lot of time left. Reg Davis is with us, former radio show host, charter commission member, activist, somebody that obviously, if you've been listening to the show, very passionate about his point of view. And I got to tell you, at some level, what resonates with me, Reg, and we got a caller that wants to ask you a question, so I want to get to the caller, but what resonates with me is this idea that in order for us to truly bring the city of Detroit forward, we have to bring our young people with us. It is their ideas, it is their vision, it is their strength that will get us there. And we can't ignore that, and it sounds to me that the Charter Commission, to some degree, has largely ignored what I consider to be a fairly critical component. Yes or no?
Yes, sir, you're absolutely correct. And with that, I'll say we were put on this earth for two primary reasons. One, to worship God, and that'll be a story for another time. Second is to make it better for our children. And when you're the worst city in this country by far with your youth who say, okay, you don't care about me, you don't want to put up rec centers, you don't want to give me an avenue to explore my talents, okay, no problem. The streets are walking with me, they have a gun, and they're going to tell me how I can take care of my siblings because my mom and dad are no longer around to take care of me. So until people start to understand that, Tony, we got to start to really stand up and say no to very important policy-making documents like the city charter. So you're absolutely right. It's about our children.
All right. 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phones. Welcome Theo in Detroit. Theo, great to have you back on the show. You're on the air with Reg Davis.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Good morning to both of you, and happy Friday.
Hey,
I'm telling everybody to vote no for the Detroit City Charter Proposal C. I'm starting with my family, or have started with my family, expanded to friends, neighbors, coworkers, church members, everybody I can reach. Now, the question that I have, please, on the day that the disabled came before the Charter Commission, what did the Charter Commissioners, or the chair, what's her name, Ford, Janice Ford, say to them, and did they accept another proposal and disrespect them as they have told me they were disrespected?
Yes, Ms. Steele, those agenda-having people at the table, the Fab Five, as I like to call them, with their leader, Janice Mitchell Ford, our chair, they said no. And I mean, I didn't hear what their rationale behind it was because I went to mute. We saw people coming in wheelchairs, canes, you had the blonde. I mean, they came in major numbers. Lisa and her crew with WOW and all these other groups. And they said, hey, we just want some kind of representation in your charter. It doesn't have to be an office, but something that identifies our concerns directly with us. As soon as they said no, I shut off. I didn't hear anything else they said. So I apologize that I can't tell you the rationale behind it, but I will say that they have their agenda set up before we came to that table, evidently, and that was not a part of their agenda.
Well, I heard they told them that they were too late, but yet there was something else that was accepted on the same day that was not
yes.
too late. What was that?
Yes. There's, for one, I tell you this, Ms. Steele, there's no excuse whatsoever. This document is supposed to be prepared to stand the test of time. This is the city's charter. Therefore, there's no excuse. If they were there at that table, I don't care if it was 1 second to go before we pushed it on to the city clerk. We should say, hold on, stop. Let's put something together for our disability community. They said no. And for whatever the reason was, there's no excuse. I'll say that. The other thing was there was another piece that came down the wire at the very last second, at the same time the disability community came before us. And that was a piece about the cable channels in the city of Detroit, which was already set up where the mayor has his, the council has theirs, and the people can easily go the community and put a show together, and everybody was happy. So it came 5 times that piece came before us. We voted it down once, twice, 3 times. They put the commission in, they took it out. They brought it back. Then at the very last minute, they came, and I never forget, Lamont Satchel came to us. He said, I just spoke to the governor's people, and we got a new little addition to the charter, and let's take a vote. It took a vote. They had 5 votes ready to go, and it was all ready to give the mayor total power of both of those channels, those cable channels. So now the mayor is in total, control of both channels, the 10, the 22, and whatever else. So it's not fair. So like I said, that made it at the last minute. So how is that more important than the disability community of our city?
Right.
It's terrible.
Well, they didn't care about the young, and they didn't care about the disabled and the old. They don't care about everybody in between. I say vote
right.
No. Thank you, Tony.
All right, Theo, thank you, and I appreciate that. Reg, let me just give you, we only have a couple minutes left. I'll let you give a closing statement here, brother.
I want to say this first and foremost to the major media sources in the city of Detroit that are trying to muscle a guy like me because I'm speaking the truth on behalf of the people the way it really should be, i.e. the editorial board of the Free Press. Hey, look at me now. I have Tony Trupiano. So I want to say vote no next Tuesday. Go to the polls. Make sure you show up. You got to vote and vote no. Trust me. If you don't know much about it, I'm your cousin. I was a part of the board, and I'm letting you know. Vote no. That's the best way to go. We'll go back to the table and make it work and prepare that document, signed, sealed, delivered for the November election 2012 when more people will be at the polls to vote for president and more people will automatically be a part of the entire process because that's what we need is more people. So, Tony, I thank you.
Thank you, brother. Blessings to you. And we'll have to wait and see what happens Tuesday, but Wednesday morning we'll know the score. Thanks so much.
And we'll talk then, Tony. Take care. God bless.
Absolutely. Reg Davis. Jeff, can you see how contentious this has become?
Pretty passionate.
It is pretty passionate. You know, again, with the exception of Tom, who we love, we have not had one person call, and we've had a lot of calls on this charter issue. We have not had one person say they're going to vote yes for it except for Tom, right?
Is that, I think so.
I don't think that we've had a call, with the exception of Tom. And I don't, Stephen Henderson's in favor of it with Detroit Free Press. Stephen lives in the city, and so he'll vote. I know the Free Press in general is in favor of the charter. The Detroit News is in favor of the charter. And they're going to urge people to vote yes on the charter. But the people themselves, Theo's called now a couple times. We had Richard call. We've had a lot of calls on this issue. And it just doesn't seem to be complete enough. Now, again, it's not that they can't go back and redo this, and they can and they will if it doesn't pass. But it's just one of those things where, maybe because we lean so far to the left, we're getting a skewed vision of the support or lack thereof of this question. But I would imagine, and we'll see what kind of turnout. I read an article before I came in this morning, the city clerk says they expect about a 30% turnout on Tuesday. 30% of the registered voters, which is frustrating. Is it okay for me to beg, Jeff, to ask people to vote? If I'm going to beg for something, that's not a bad thing to beg for, is it?
I guess not, but yeah, you really shouldn't have to. 30% of the people care about what's going on around them?
Well, you wait and see. The primary, I told you, when I went to vote in Dearborn Heights, when I went to vote in the primary back in August, Jeff, at 6 o'clock in the evening, I was the 12th voter in my precinct. 6 o'clock at night. It's crazy. All right, A.J. O'Neill from the Assembly Line Party, when we continue. We have a lot going on in the next hour. We have 3 guests in the next hour. So let's get to the break. And Jillian coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. Of course, Anthony and Jeff were along for the ride as well. It's a Friday first shift program. Thanks for punching in. We'll be back.
10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
No accidents out there right now. We do have a little bit of a slow go, I-75 southbound between 14 Mile and I-696. Other than that, just your normal construction projects. Right now, it is 39 degrees, so you can expect a high of 52, partly cloudy. Tonight looks like it's going to be clear with a low of 36. I'm Jillian, and you're listening to Home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. The Conrad Murray trial is in the hands of the jury. Deliberations expected to begin today. During closing arguments, prosecutor David Waldron told the jury Dr. Murray betrayed the faith Michael Jackson placed in him.
Michael Jackson trusted Conrad Murray. He trusted him with his life.
The prosecution says Murray was responsible for Jackson's death. Murray's lawyers say Jackson gave himself the propofol he overdosed on. Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou is backing off plans to hold a referendum on an international bailout of his country. CNN's Jim Bolden reports the idea of a referendum went over like a lead balloon in Greece.
You would think most people would be very happy to go to the polls and give their opinions. This is Greece, after all, the home of democracy, right? People were furious because they said the politicians made this decision. The politicians put us in this position. It's your job to sort this out.
Now, Papandreou faces a confidence vote today amid calls from some Greek lawmakers that he stepped down. The National Restaurant Association says it will respond to a request by an attorney for one of Herman Cain's accusers.
He wants to issue a statement on behalf of his client, without naming his client, saying that she was sexually harassed, she received a settlement, very general sort of terms, differing from what Herman Cain is saying, essentially setting the record straight, I believe, without giving all the details.
That's CNN chief political analyst Gloria Borger. Cain denies the sexual harassment allegations. Big economic report comes out about 90 minutes from now. The monthly U.S. jobs numbers. Economists are expecting it to show 98,000 jobs were added in October. It's also anticipated the unemployment rate will hold steady at 9.1%. The number of young adults shacking up with mom and dad is soaring. New census data shows 19% of males 25 to 34 live with their parents today, up 5% from 2005. This is CNN Radio.
This season, when you trade in your old tangled-up Christmas lights at the Home Depot, you'll get up to $5 off a brand-new string of holiday LEDs. They'll burn even brighter and use up to 80% less energy. So to find a lower energy bill under the Christmas tree this year, just bring in your old lights, working or not, for up to $5 off a new string of LEDs. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through November 13th, U.S. only. Limit 5 for customers. See store for details.
Where's my PC desktop?
It's on my desk, of course.
It's also on my smartphone.
My laptop.
My notebook.
As the engines of a smarter planet,
we mid-sized businesses need to be able to work anytime, anywhere.
Wherever I go, my desktop goes with me.
Unless I'd prefer that it didn't.
Like when I'm fishing or something.
The IBM Virtual Desktop for smart business. Designed to reduce desktop management costs. Starting at $12.50 per user per month. Learn more at ibm.com/engines/desktop. Price is subject to change without notice.
Google is looking into moving the way of Comcast and DirecTV. The company, which already offers the Google TV service, allowing internet video to be transmitted to television screens, is now pondering an entry into the pay TV business. Wall Street Journal reports Google is looking into bundling wired TV, internet, and phone service, and is talking with owners of cable channels about obtaining rights to carry them. Even in tough economic times, people still must purchase the essentials. And apparently for many people, the essentials include a skinny triple shot venti extra froth latte. Starbucks reporting fiscal fourth quarter earnings up a better than expected 29% thanks primarily to strong U.S. sales. Outside the coffee houses, strong demand for Starbucks K-Cups and Via Instant Coffee also boosted the bottom line. Rally for Asian markets today, up 2 to 3%. Smaller gains for Europe. U.S. stock futures are stuck not far from flat. S&P NASDAQ futures each up 1. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I'd have taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy new Martha Stewart Living Carpet and get it installed for just $37. You also get lifetime stain and installation warranties. So it's never been easier to completely transform a room with better carpet at a better price. It all starts with $37 installation on Martha Stewart Living Carpet. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, we'll test them fast and free on most vehicles. If the best way to test your battery was to place our tongues directly on your old battery, we'd do it. But we have a machine that's far more accurate. Need a new battery? We'll install it free with purchase using our hands. No machine can replace those. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here.
Because
and there isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out
situation. But I'm excited.
This is a challenge. Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Cupiano.
It is time. In fact, we're over time. 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday program, and we have a lot of information to get to you. Three guests in this hour. We're going to get to A.J. O'Neill in just a moment. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Jeff Watrick, who has been covering the Wayne County fiasco. Our occupier will be with us as well from the Detroit Occupy Movement at 7:50. Joe DeSano at 8 o'clock. So we've got a lot to get to. I will remind you, if you want to join us at any time throughout the program, just make it topical, please. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And last and certainly not least, on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. As many of you know, because I've been talking about it, tomorrow, Saturday, I'm involved in what's a pretty spectacular event. It's called the Soapbox Summit. It's going to be held at AJ's Music Cafe in Ferndale. Of course, if you go to the Facebook page, we put it up there yesterday. For those of you that would like to come, all the information's there, where it's at, and so on and so forth. And joining us now, the founder of the Assembly Line Party and the coordinator, the organizer of the Soapbox Summit, A.J. O'Neill. A.J., a pleasure to have you back on First Shift.
Hey, thank you, Tony. Pleasure to be here.
Before we talk about the summit in particular, and we will, I got a press release from you yesterday and about a T-shirt. Can you tell my audience about the special T-shirt?
Sure. Well, we decided we'll have the 99% T-shirts for sale at our weekend event. And that's pretty normal. They're union-made in the USA. They're $15. And then we thought we would do something for the 1% who are disenfranchised and want to make a statement. So We have a I Am the 1% t-shirt for $10,000. Anyone can buy one, and we'll give all that money to a local food bank because we know that there's some people out there that are up in that 1% category that agree with the fact that things got to change. They want to be a part of the solution, and we're giving them an opportunity to do that.
Well, I'm assuming you haven't sold any 1% shirts yet, but it would surely be nice to sell some of those $10,000 shirts and raise some money for a more than worthy cause.
Yeah, no, we haven't sold one yet, but, you know, the day is young.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It actually is very young, AJ, that's for sure. There's no question about it. The day is young. Well, I think it's very cool. Of course, if people go to assemblylineparty.com, you can get information on how to get a T-shirt. If you're a one percenter and would like to help out those in need, you can order your T-shirt right then and there. Credit cards, PayPal, doesn't matter. They got you covered. AJ, let's talk a little bit about the Soapbox Summit tomorrow and a little bit about what you hope comes out of it, some of the panelists that are involved, and why people should come down tomorrow evening.
Well, I appreciate you being the moderator. I think we're in great hands for that, too, Tony. Really, I wanted to have a cross-section of various political, community, corporate, union, special needs. I just wanted to have a good cross-section of America sit down at the same table and see if we can't hash out some of these differences and commonalities so that we can possibly have some workable, actionable ideas moving forward. I mean, obviously, we have to sit at the table at some time or we're going to fight. I really think that I like to say Wall Street and Main Street need to merge, and they need to be able to reconcile their differences and get along, and that's the way forward. And this is just one way of doing it from a Main Street perspective in an unpretentious setting that has already been validated as having done some pretty extraordinary things to bring attention to the fact that without workers, without producers, you don't have community. I mean, it's not hard to connect the dots there.
Well, and A.J. O'Neill, as we kind of just take a historic look, you know, there was a time in this country where Main Street and Wall Street did work together. I mean, there was a time where that relationship was honed and honored, and it was the way we defined work. It wasn't about I have more than you. It was about sitting down and finding compromises. And, you know, we built the middle class based on this idea of shared responsibility. Understanding that, you know, yes, that they were taking the risk, therefore they would get the vast majority of the money. At the same time, you know, corporations at one point, you know, Wall Street at one point understood that continue to make money, they had to reinvest that money, and they tried to do that by creating more jobs. Of course, you create more consumers, you're going to create more producers. And unfortunately, unfortunately, they found a way around that. It became about stocks and bonds and about making shareholders happy. And, you know, the bottom line is healthy today because they found a way to take shortcuts.
You couldn't be more correct. You hit the nail right on the head. And we have to get back to that old way. I mean, there's just no way a relative few are going to be able to have control of so many resources and have a society that works. I mean, there are certain things that just aren't negotiable. I mean, we have to go in with the mindset that that's the premise that we start from. We start from the premise that this ain't working, it's broke, we gotta fix it, and we're not going to fix it by having a few people control so much. And we have to bring back the relationship that the worker is the producer, is the consumer, is the customer, are the same people, and that's the way we have a whole society. I call it cross-trickle economics, and it's not hard. Then we can start to come up with some answers to these challenges. Simple as that.
Tell me a little bit about some of the panelists that will be coming to the Soapbox Summit tomorrow night.
Sure. We have Ann Heller, is just a phenomenal lady. She's the founder of Ferndale health clinic called Fern Care. Fern Care just does not care what status you are. If you're broke and you need medical attention, you come to see Ann at Fern Care and she'll give it to you. The health care system is so out of whack, and it's a big part of our issues going forward. She'll be there. We have... I just got to wake up a little bit more. Tony, you caught me off guard.
Well, I know our own Chris Mihalakis will be there. Chris is with us, of course, on a regular basis.
Chris is the food handler's worker. We've got Lena Bembry from UAW Region 1A. We've got financial people that are going to be a part of this with corporate. You know, I'll tell you who's turned me down, too. A couple of the corporate people who... have politely said no. Bill Ford hasn't sent anybody. I called his office, and they can't make the certain. There's a certain amount of strategy going forward from corporates that have this ignore mentality.
Hey, AJ, do you see this as an opportunity that this could perhaps be the first in a series of soapbox summits that can, you know, further define and get into some niche issues and. You know, maybe subsequent soapbox summits would be more about individuals. Maybe one's about creating jobs. Maybe one's about building infrastructure. Maybe one is about, how to feed the hungry and homeless. Do you see this building into maybe a series?
I do, and I think that, that's a nice premise going forward. One of the things that the Occupy movement accused of is that they don't have a central focal point, that they have a lot of different issues that they're bringing to the table. I don't agree with that. I think that it's all about the relationship between Wall Street and Main Street, and the rest of it kind of umbrellas under that. But to have certain opportunities to take some of these issues and devote whole periods of time, whole summits to that is a wonderful idea, and we're going to have to do that going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be a fascinating opportunity. Of course, those that attend will have opportunity to ask questions of the panelists, and I'm hoping that we have a nice turnout. And that I know we're going to have a fascinating conversation. That I don't question with the panelists that you've put together. The moderator aside, your panelists are pretty good.
Yeah, we've got a great panel. We've got. Eight panelists there. It's a cross section of all facets. We've got a mayoral, sitting mayoral, a person over in Hazel Park. We've got a candidate for city council, Dan Martin for Ferndale. It's really well covered. I'm really grateful that we have a very distinguished.
Well, we'll look forward again. It's 4 to 6 p.m. tomorrow at AJ's Music Cafe in downtown Ferndale. Go to assemblylineparty.com. There's more information there, information on our Facebook page. AJ, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I'll be calling you a little later on this afternoon so we can solidify our plans for tomorrow, but I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely. AJ O'Neill, AJ's Music Cafe, and founder of the Assembly Line Party. We're going to take a quick break here. Little time for open lines. We're going to talk about the emergency manager in the city of Detroit. How serious was Mayor Bing? Very. We'll take the break. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back right after this.
Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. There is no reason not to follow your heart.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Right now we have an accident, I-94 eastbound at I-275 that has traffic stop and go from Hagerty. Also some more stop and go traffic, I-75 southbound between 12 Mile and 8 Mile, and a little bit of a slow go on I-676 westbound between Cousins and I-75. Right now it is 39 degrees, and today you can expect partly cloudy with a high of 52 and a low of 36 tonight. I'm Jillian, and you're listening to the Home for First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
It's the two-day sale at Toys R Us this Friday and Saturday. Doorbusters start Friday, 3 p.m. through Saturday, 1 p.m. Get 25% off top-selling Lego construction sets, plus 50% off hot toys from Razer, Disney, Princess, and more. Join Jeffrey for the ultimate kickoff to Christmas this Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. Try out this season's hottest toys and create your holiday wish list. Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store.
Exclusions apply. Store hours may vary. Visit a store or ToysRUs.com for all the details.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is Professor Gordon Lafer.
One of the problems with one of the versions of Right to Work that somebody is talking about introducing in Michigan, which would be aimed strictly at teachers and the school system. There has never been a Right to Work law like that because it makes no economic sense. You're not going to attract companies into out of state by attacking teachers. But what you will do is put Michigan at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting and retaining the highest quality teachers. If you say, well, we're going to cut down, you know, union bargaining power and wages and benefits for Michigan teachers, any teacher who has a choice who's deciding are they going to go to Michigan or a neighboring state is going to have an incentive to go elsewhere. So at a time when the state is trying to have a strong education system, I mean, both for all kinds of reasons, including being able to compete for these higher skilled jobs, to put in a law that says we're going to undermine the quality of teachers we can attract seems backwards economically.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance, no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot, just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF shingles, quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Feel free to join us. We've got a lot to do. We've got Jeff Wattrick at the bottom of the hour at 7:50. We have Occupy Detroit, but I am going to go to the phones and welcome my good friend and brother, Amir, to the show. Amir, welcome back. What's on your mind today, my brother? Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning to you, brother. Just basically, we just got to keep messaging, get out and vote. That's the main thing that we have to do. I don't care what we're doing in this life. If we do not get it legislated into government, it's not going to work. So Wall Street, Main Street can come together. The reason Wall Street works with Main Street is because of legislation. I want contracts like the NFL and NBA get with their owners, 50% of the profit.
Yeah, there you go.
So, and that's why I don't understand why I don't, when your company make $10 million and say they got 1,000 employees, the owners take 50% and the workers get 50% because you've already did all your reinvestment and everything.
Well,
that's how we should start looking at stuff.
Well, you know, Amir, all I know is that what we're doing is not working.
very true.
And so we need to do something about that, and you're 100% correct. One of the ways that we can effectively drive change is at the ballot box. But the key to that is you got to show up, and if indeed what the Detroit City Clerk was saying, that 30% of registered voters are going to show up, that's a travesty.
Very true, and that's why we have to message and just get people the knowledge to understand that, yes, you have to vote, because voting is the key for especially the middle class to being back, to going back to being the middle class.
Yep, no question, Amir. We got to move on. We just got another call.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
You have a great weekend yourself, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Again, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Charles in Detroit to First Shift. Charles, is always
a
pleasure.
How you doing, guy?
Great. What's on your mind this morning?
Okay, I know you're a fighter for the workers, so I had to make sure you heard the information. Yesterday in the transit center, some bus drivers were attacked by a group of guys. The city has not put any protection out for the bus drivers or for the citizens. So today there has been a walkout based on the fact that they have no protection. They're afraid to drive out. The guy was assaulted. He had to go to emergency yesterday, far as I know.
Why were they assaulted, Charles?
Well, what I hear was that the driver was asking some passengers to get on the bus. They stood in the door texting. So when a driver asked them again, they had to get on. He went to get a supervisor, and I guess maybe they got angry for whatever reason. I have no details, but it's all over the news now, so you can pretty much pick up. But like I said, you're a fighter for the workers, so I figured I'd share that with you.
No. I appreciate that. Listen, no one should be attacked. Nobody should ever be attacked. Violence is not the way to solve any problems, that's for sure, Charles, and I'm sorry to hear that this happened.
Yeah, and it happens regularly, though. This isn't the first time. I mean, spitting incidents, attacks, but what happened was this was the final straw. And it's believed that this attack came about at one point in time. Dave announced on the radio that, he put in the newspaper that drivers just sit around talking and chatting when they should be at work. So at that point in time, the union to the city to tell them that's wrong to say, and this will probably happen. And I guess you could say almost within 2 weeks, a driver has been attacked severely.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Let me get to the story that's on the front page of the Free Press right now. I'm just going to read it. I just got it. Bus riders are being left at stops all over the city of Detroit this morning without service as the Detroit Department of Transportation bus system experiences issues. Recording at the DDOT customer service phone says there will be quote-unquote extreme delays. DDOT sincerely apologizes for extreme delays in service today, the recording said after 6 a.m. Matters are being undertaken to restore daily operational service. Again, we apologize for the situation. DDOT did not provide explanation for the delays on its phone message. Bus riders in Detroit have been dealing with chronic delays that have forced some riders to wait more than 3 hours for a bus, in addition to cuts in service that have come over the last few years. And it goes on from there. In addition to the delays, the DDOT bus riders in Metro Detroit are also facing the possibility of cuts in the suburban smart bus system as well. Despite pay cuts, staff reductions, and a fare hike for the average 40,000 daily riders, Smart has said it will lay off 123 employees and cut 22% of its service. Those cuts include eliminating 15 of its least traveled routes and stopping services at Detroit borders where DDOT buses run. Now, this doesn't say anything about people being attacked or people retaliating. I got to tell you, it's unfair of people to believe that the bus drivers are responsible for these delays, because they are not. And if they're being attacked over that, that's terrible. Now, at the same time, and I believe what I heard Charles saying was that somebody was texting and they were asking them to just get on the bus. You know, the texting is not a license to ignore the rest of the world, folks. If you're holding up bus service because you're standing in the doorway texting, well, that's just rude and selfish. Makes sense? And I can, you know, Jeff, I can honestly see that happening. I can honestly see somebody, you know, just kind of dilly-dallying around, you know, standing in the doorway, half in, half out, finishing their text or reading their email. I can easily see that happening.
Yeah, that's, but it is ridiculous. Like, just walk a couple more steps, go sit down, and then start doing your thing. I mean.
Well, again, this story in the Free Press does not say, and I have not checked the Detroit News yet, but it does not say anything about the violence. But I would, if indeed that's true, I would suspect that that is partially responsible for this delay this morning. God dang. And this is just a mess. This whole city of Detroit thing is a mess. And we don't have time to get into the emergency manager story from yesterday that's bleeding into today. But once again, Dave Bing is going out of his way, and he's going out of his way to do it, to say the only way we survive this is if unions give concessions. The city council isn't necessarily saying that. They're not all on the same page on this, folks. Dave Bing needs to step up and show some leadership. He sounds like a whiny executive is what he sounds like. He complains the other day that he doesn't get to spend as much time with his family as he'd like. I never see him. I'm working too hard. I have to reassess this. And then you want to be the financial manager on top of being the mayor, Mr. Bing? Just a question. Answer it, though. It makes no sense. I mean, this makes no sense. Dave Bing, part of the problem the city of Detroit is having, the issues it's having right now, is your lack of leadership. You know, sometimes you just need to put your foot down. But you're not ready to do that. All right, Jeff Watrick on the other side of this. We've got a lot to get to in this hour. You're going to want to stay where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Right now, we have an accident blocking the shoulder on 94 westbound I 275. Also, another accident on 94 eastbound I 275 that has traffic stop and go. Another spot, we have a little bit of a slow go, I 696 westbound between Cousins and I 75. Right now, it is 39 degrees. Today, you can expect a high of 52 and partly cloudy. And tonight, looks like it's going to be 36 degrees. I'm Jillian, and you're listening to the Home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. 60 protesters from Occupy Chicago, Stand Up Chicago, and several unions disrupted Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's speech on state budget reforms in Chicago Thursday. The protesters bought tickets to the speech and were seated at tables. They interrupted Walker as he began to speak.
Governor Walker is vilified!
He's
Leah Edmonds was one of the 60 who gave Governor Walker a dose of the people's mic.
It was people from Chicago's Teachers Union, from Service Employees International Union, to be there with a bunch of community and labor allies, all of us standing together. It felt very powerful to be able to speak to Governor Walker in that way.
After about 15 minutes, the protesters inside left with no arrests, chanting as they went. To help heal America's economy, National Nurses United has just a prescription, a meaningful financial transaction tax on Wall Street. The Registered Nurses Union was on the march Thursday in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, San Francisco, and at the G20 meeting in France. About 1,500 nurses, joined by the AFL-CIO, Occupy Wall Street activists, and other supporters, rallied outside the White House and marched to the Treasury Department in Washington. Liz Jacobs was one of the National Nurses United RNs taking part in the San Francisco action.
There's an unhealthy economy, and we know what the solution is, and we need to go to where the revenue is that will heal America, and that is Wall Street and a tax on Wall Street.
Red Cross workers in Connecticut are on strike today after they failed to reach an agreement with the blood supply organization. Jesse Russell reports.
The workers represented by Ask Me Council 4 are walking picket lines in Norwalk and Farmington, calling attention to 2 years of working without a contract. The primary issue holding up talks is the number of licensed nurses required at blood drives. The Red Cross has consistently lowered the number over the years, and the workers are concerned it raises safety issues. Other disagreements involve health care and scheduling. The Red Cross workers have additionally expressed frustration over the way the organization has treated them during the contract negotiations. The National Labor Relations Board has filed a number of lawsuits against the Red Cross for violations of unfair labor practices. Disaster workers are not on strike, minimizing the impact of the strike on relief from the storms that have hit New England in the past week. The Red Cross has been importing extra blood reserves from other states into Connecticut since the union made it known a walkout was on the horizon.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And first shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. As we have been following quite closely what's happening in Wayne County, what started off in mid-September, with a story that leaked that indeed there was a severance check given to somebody that was leaving their job for a better job. Now, the Detroit papers have done a really nice job of covering the story, but for those of us that read a lot of different sources, I found somebody that's covering a little bit more flair, a little bit more in-depth, and I wanted to share that person with you. So joining me now from MLive.com is reporter Jeff Watrick, who has been covering this, what is titled Severance Gate. It's gone far beyond just Severance Gate at this point. And Jeff, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Of course, since you and I were in touch just yesterday morning, more news as you report on MLive.com this morning. Wayne County Executive Bob Ficano replaces top officials' vows to end business as usual. That's, I think, your latest piece. Of course, you've been very, very prolific on this issue, so you may have even written more since then. Jeff, give us an update in what you feel is really going on here. Is the county executive, does he finally now get it that maybe whatever has happened is over? He's done. He's got to move on.
It definitely sounds like he is ready to make some big changes within his administration, bringing in former U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Collins as his deputy and a retired Ford executive, Ray Byers, to replace Turquia Mullen as economic development director, as well as a new corporation council. It kind of seemed yesterday like sort of the grown-ups are not back in charge moment at the Guardian building. It remains to be seen if these will be substantive changes in terms of how the county operates, but at least symbolically, it seemed like a big step yesterday.
Well, it certainly does, and it does make one wonder. You know, for those that aren't aware, Mr. Collins is very much a Republican. Mr. Ficano, very much a dyed-in-the-wool, labor-backed Democrat. And so I think that sends, if not a subliminal message, a pretty obvious message, that he gets that this can't be whatever it was he thought it was. And let's be, at some level, Jeff, honest about this. You know, Bob Ficano basically took the Ed McNamara model of running the county and adopted that when he was elected the county executive. There have not been a lot of changes between that administration and his administration until maybe yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the people that were around him, it seemed more and more like McNamara 2.0, even on this airport authority board where he appoints four of the seven members. You look at their bios, and these are all people who had ties to McNamara's administration. So, I mean, it's really basically been 25 years of the same government in Wayne County.
Well, I have to ask you, with regard to access to county commissioners, Gary Warnchek, who is the commission chair, I believe, seems to be very verbose these days, interested in talking, and he seems to have something to say all of a sudden. It makes one wonder, because of without this quote-unquote severance gate scandal, where we would be with the county. But, Jeff, you know, for people that are thinking, well, you know, Bob Ficano's doing the right thing and he's replacing the right people and it's this is a very responsible way to move forward, we still have an investigation that's going on. I'm not assuming that there's going to be a problem there, but there certainly could be. So you still have an investigation going on. You now have the Takiyah Mullen situation where they're either going to arbitrate this or litigate this. This is far from being off the front pages of the paper.
It is, and in some ways the firing of Takiyah Mullen earlier this week is maybe sort of the biggest story of all, because the airport authority didn't really clarify why exactly they were firing her, and it seemed like they were really opening themselves up for some serious litigation on that. I mean, it was just really ham-fisted. You have one airport authority member, Sam Newhan, asking another, you know, well, what is the cause that we're firing her for cause for? And, you know, the answer is, I'm not going to say. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Well, okay, this I'm not going to say, that doesn't necessarily mean, Jeff Wadrick, they don't have a reason. I mean,
sure. But, I mean, I think it's, you know, and you know, certainly no one should shed tears for Takiyah Mullen over any of this. But, I mean, it just seems sort of a basic, you know, good practice to tell people, you know, the crime they've committed, so to speak, before you punish them. I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, it's simply just for opening up the airport to you know, a lawsuit. I mean, if you have a reason to fire someone, put it out there and, you know, close the book on the situation.
Well, I didn't find it odd that she showed up the other day, Takiyah Mullen, that is, with an attorney. I did find it a bit odd that she also showed up with a publicist. Obviously, she knew something was going on and was prepared for that something, that eventuality. In fact, they also had a statement that just happened to be ready as soon as she was technically fired. So none of this comes as a surprise. The publicist shocked me just a little bit. Your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Yeah, it definitely seems like there's she's very conscious of how this maybe affects whatever is next in her career or her public life, and maybe it's simply the result of some huge PR gaffes she made when this thing first broke, saying that, you know, she earned the money, that, you know, it's hers, she's not giving it back. She deserves it. She probably deserves, you know, more for how hard she worked for the county and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it just seemed really tone deaf and kind of, you know, tin pot republic like.
Well, it is interesting, and I just don't remember. I've read so much about this. It may have been your piece, but it may have been another where we talk about the Arab American community now being concerned that, you know, Bob Ficano is, you know, brokering some kind of deal with them, making sure that, you know, they aren't being ignored. At the same time, you know, two of the key people in this saga, in this unfolding saga, are, you know, established members of the Arab American community, and so there's naturally going to be some concern that they're not made to look bad. I don't see it that way. I see them as two individuals just happen to be Arab American, and they get caught in this. But I don't think it's a reflection on that community in general.
Probably not. And you saw yesterday the new corporation counsel, Zina Al-Hassa, you know, also from the Arab American community. And, you know, frankly, Jeff Collins, as U.S. attorney and kind of a rare exception within the Bush administration, seemed to have a really good relationship with the local Arab American community as he was doing, you know, counterterrorism work. So, I mean, I think probably both those two appointments are you know, I've not talked to anyone in the Arab American community on this, but it's just my, you know, gut instinct that those appointments will be received well in the aftermath of Mullen and Elder.
Do you have, and I'm just wondering if you have any update on what's happening with the FBI investigation since they've announced the investigation? It's actually been quite quiet.
It has been. I don't have any update on that. It seems like mum's the word.
All right. And so we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. Jeff, if you don't mind, I'd love to have you back on from time to time. This is a story that's not going away anytime soon. And certainly, I really do appreciate. In fact, we've posted your stuff to our Facebook page, and absolutely. You're giving it a perspective the Detroit papers aren't giving it. MLive.com is where you're going to find them. Jeff Wadrick, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, this is going to be really fascinating to see how this all plays out. Jeff has his three most recent pieces, by the way. If you go to MLive.com, you can just. If you go through our portal on the Facebook page, if you search his stuff, the last three pieces he wrote were extraordinary. The one that really kind of brought it together for me was the one entitled Severance Gate Roundup, Turkeia Mullen Project Runway, and Why This Controversy Isn't Over. But he is doing some really solid reporting, and I love his perspective on this. And so I want to recommend that, if you're going to follow the story, as I know many of you are very interested in this story, that would be the way to do it. Do I have time to do the Fox 2 stuff? Do I have just enough time to do that or not? I'm going to guess not, since I'm not getting a response. Okay.
Let's just wait.
All right. Well, it's done now. We don't have no more time today. We have the Occupy stuff in the next segment. Wow, this day's going by fast. It's just flying by. Hey, Jeff, you want to go out to breakfast this morning?
I'm dying to. Can't wait. I didn't eat anything. I always on Friday I try to starve myself just so I can go to breakfast.
You don't have to starve yourself.
That's not starving. It's five. It's only been three hours since I got up.
I mean, what do you have? Maybe 3% body fat, Jeff?
13, 14.
Oh,
15.
Stop it.
It's got to be up there. No, 13 I think is pretty healthy.
Well, I would think so, but I don't even think it's close to that.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You're thin.
No.
Yes, absolutely. If I were a cannibal, I wouldn't want to eat you. Not enough fat on your bones.
You like the fat?
Well, it's like a good steak. You got to have a little bit of fat on there. I'm just saying, if I were a cannibal, I'm not. I mean,
thank goodness we got that.
Yeah, if I were, you would not be my first choice.
Never did I think we'd head into this segment talking with Jeff Wadrick that you would end by assuring people that you're not a cannibal.
Well, and I'm not. I think I've made that clear now, and I'm going to just let that statement stand on its own. Very quickly before we go to break, we had last week Susan on with the Recall Rick's Paul Scott campaign. They could use some help. If you go to Facebook and just go to Recall Paul Scott on Facebook, if you can volunteer some time, go up to Genesee County, go up to Flint and help them out, they could use a little help. So I promised her I'd let you folks know. I'm going to let you know. When we come back, we're going to occupy Detroit one more time this week. So you'll stay where you're at. We're going to take a look at what's happening this week. And I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Oh, yeah, and come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
On 1310, WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Curtis Ellis, Executive Director of the American Jobs Alliance. Tell us, what is the American Jobs Alliance all about?
Individuals across the country who care very much about having jobs in the U.S. and care very much about having a healthy domestic manufacturing base and domestic service base. That is, let's just talk turkey here, put it straight, not outsourcing. We can't be having everything made around the world and imported into this country. Americans have to produce what we use. We have to be producers as well as consumers, or else we'll never get out of the financial mess we're in. We're a post-industrial service economy. I don't have to tell you or your listeners what that's done to this country. You're at ground zero there in Detroit. We have grass growing in the streets of major cities. Cities have never seen a depopulation like this since the Black Plague swept Europe.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And we are back, and as we do every single day at this time, we're going to talk Occupy Detroit. If you want to join us, we had a call a little earlier. If you want to talk Occupy Detroit, now's the time to give us a call. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. And joining us now is Shannon McEvely, and she has been great her third time with the First Shift. And Shannon, a pleasure to have you back on this Friday morning.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me again.
What an exciting week it has been. I know you guys have been doing some reorganizing of the camp, and that has gone well, I understand, and we've got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the camp, because, you know, we had kind of told people, with the exception of money donations, which they can do right on the website, you know, to kind of back off a little bit, and then we would let them know when they could start donating stuff again. So if you could give us an update on that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, our kitchen had grown substantially in about the last 2 weeks. We moved the kitchen from one size camp to the other and did it, I guess you could say, rather quickly. And we serve, you know, upwards of 300 people a day in terms of meals. So it was decided by the kitchen staff and by camp that we needed a couple days to kind of restructure. As of last night, there were, like, sheds being built and all kinds of stuff. We hopefully will be back on by this weekend. But there's been a great deal of reorganization, and we hope, you know, by the time we're back that we're going to be bigger and more efficient and better than ever.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm sure that will happen. And of course, you've got some stuff going on this weekend, so let's talk about what's going on this weekend, especially on Sunday. There's a nice labor march.
Yes, we're so excited for Sunday. Labor in Detroit and in Michigan has just been exceptionally supportive of us. The UAW, AFL-CIO, Michigan Nurses Association has been staffing our medical tent, just absolutely, absolutely phenomenally supportive. And then they decided, the Metro Detroit Labor Council voted to have a solidarity march with Occupy Detroit this Sunday. It's at 2 p.m. meeting at Hart Plaza. It's my understanding that it's going to be somewhat of a supply drive for us as well. So meeting at 2 p.m. at Hart Plaza and then marching up to Occupy Detroit, the camp at Grand Circus. And we've just, like I said, I can't state enough how supportive labor has been, how excited we are, you know, to see their continued support and that they're doing this kind of march at all. And we're just absolutely thrilled that this is happening.
Right. And I want to remind people that on Sunday, if you want to bring non-perishable goods, if you want to bring tents and blankets and coats and hats and mittens, bring them to Hart Plaza. Don't bring them to the camp. Bring them to Hart Plaza. They're going to gather everything there, and then they're going to truck everything from Hart Plaza to Grand Circus Park. And that's the way that they've chose to do it, folks, so let's respect that. Bring that stuff to Hart Plaza, and it'll make it much easier for everybody if you do that. And then they're going to truck everything over to the camp, and they will distribute things there. So that's when we're going to re-engage, and then we'll get back on track next week, and we'll figure out exactly what we need to do. But, Shannon, we do have a call, so let us go to the phones. Again, folks, if you want to join us, feel free to do that, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Larry and Lapeer to First Shift. Larry, thanks for being with us. You're on the air with Shannon.
Good morning, Shannon. Shannon, thanks a lot for doing what you're doing. Some of us are fortunate enough to be able to go to a job this morning, and we're blessed because of that. And you folks down there are bringing some much-needed attention to some of the things that are going on in our country that's getting it taken away from us. Just a couple comments. You know, I travel quite a bit as a result of representing different plants in the UAW. And so, therefore, my radio's on. And every now and then I switch to, I just kind of cruise the channels and listen to comments being made. And the majority of the media, you know, portrays you folks as, you know, whiners, needy, that you want somebody to give you a handout all the time. And, you know, it's really irritating, because what we want is a fair shot at a fair job at a fair wage, so that we can raise our families and continue to do what we, you know, how we want to live. The whole dynamic of everything is turned sideways. And instead of trying to better ourselves, a certain segment of this population is knocking us backwards and always complaining about our wage while hiding theirs. And the last comment I want to make is simply, you know, Rahm Emanuel is now the mayor of Chicago. We shouldn't be having the problems with the Occupy Chicago movement with a guy that used to be the right-hand guy of President Obama.
He has been, Larry, very disappointing.
And all that stuff out over there.
Yeah, no question, Larry. He has been very disappointing. I thank you for your call, Larry. And, Shannon, I'll let you go ahead and address what Larry had to say.
Sure. Well, it's funny. I know there has been media coverage has kind of been very, very divergent on the whole thing. I can only speak, I guess, to the coverage in Detroit, which obviously we've been following pretty closely. Anybody who's come to camp, who's actually visited camp, and who's actually talked to the people who are living there and who are working there, and who are involved in this, it's been overwhelmingly positive. And there's constantly a tone of, this is really surprising. This is an incredibly diverse bunch. You know, some people have jobs, some people don't. Some people are students, some people are, you know, middle-aged, elderly, some people are union, black, white, Hispanic, gay, straight, you know, everything. So the negative coverage, at least from this city, has been from people who haven't actually been anywhere near the camp. And I think that's very telling, that as soon as someone comes and actually sees for themselves what Occupy Detroit is about, it becomes overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, and everybody that has either written me or called the show has, that has been exactly, Shannon, their experience. No question about it. One more quick call because we're running out of time. Let's go to the phones and welcome Jim in Garden City. Jim, you're on the air with Shannon.
Hi. Shannon can tell everybody where to park if we're bringing stuff down to Hart Plaza to get the word out right now.
Okay, well,
and,
I mean, the parking
I'll be seeing you guys Saturday because I'll be marching right around the encampment there with the veterans.
For the Veterans Parade, absolutely. Actually, parking is not an issue, Jim, and so it doesn't really matter where you park, especially on Sunday. There will be a lot of parking. Of course, Grand Circus Park is on a parking structure, so it's pretty easy to find parking. But as far as for Hart Plaza, you can just really just drop stuff off and park anywhere. Shannon, we're out of time, so did I get all that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, great. Well, listen, I'm going to see you Sunday, I think. In the meantime, thank you for everything you're doing, and we'll pick this back up again on Monday.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Shannon, thank you so much. All right, folks, a quick break here. Jillian coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. And then it's Joe DeSano. That's right. Glorious Joe as we wrap up this Friday program. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Right now we have some stop-and-go traffic, I-75 southbound between 12 Mile and 8 Mile. Also an accident, I-94 eastbound at I-275 that has traffic stop-and-go from Hagerty. And another accident blocking the shoulder, I-75 northbound at 11 Mile, causing a little bit of a slow go. Right now it is 39 degrees today. You can expect partly cloudy with a high of 52 and a low of 36 tonight. I'm Jillian, and you're listening to The Home for First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. One of the women who reportedly accused Republican presidential contender Herman Cain of sexual harassment speaks out today. Well, it's expected we may have some kind of statement. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live from Washington with more. Good morning, Bob.
Paul, Herman Cain fighting back on the Sean Hannity radio show, upset that anonymous accusations from his time at the National Restaurant Association threaten his candidacy.
This businessman is not going to be deterred.
So undeterred, in fact, a YouTube video put out by the campaign compares Cain to the Clarence Thomas hearings from 20 years ago when Anita Hill accused Thomas of sexual harassment.
It is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way deign to think for themselves.
Today, the association will decide if one of the women in Cain's case can issue a statement. Paul?
Bob Costantini in Washington. Breaking news, John Corzine, the former governor of New Jersey, resigns as CEO of bankrupt brokerage firm MF Global. The company today said Corzine won't seek severance pay. Right now, it looks like Prime Minister George Papandreou is backing off plans to put a Eurozone bailout plan to a vote by the Greek people. Instead, he's trying to convince the opposition to support the measure while he tries to survive a confidence vote in Parliament. Ryan Avant writes for The Economist. He says the crisis is a delicate balancing act for the 17 nations who use the euro as their currency.
They have, in a sense, roped themselves together and given up some of that control. And I think that's part of what everyone is realizing at this point, that they are in it together. And if they can't make the system work, if they don't devise the institutions to make it work, that they are risking a pretty serious collapse.
The U.S. government will release its monthly unemployment data later this hour. Analysts surveyed by CNN Money expect the October unemployment rate to remain unchanged at 9.1%. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has come up with a new way of buying windows and patio doors. It's called Buy More, Save More pricing. Instant savings from $50 to $600 on all special order windows and patio doors. Instead of replacing a few windows right away and a few more later, this could let you do them all now, thanks to our all-new Buy More, Save More pricing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
AVG links millions of users to protect computers from digital threats. It's a point we wanted to demonstrate vividly. So we caged two people and dropped them in a jungle with a 500-pound tiger. And did we mention the cage was made of toothpicks? Millions of toothpicks.
He's on top of the cage!
How many toothpicks does it take to stop a tiger? Find out. AVG presents Tiger vs. Toothpicks at WeProtectUs.com.
Bankrupt MF Global has announced within the past hour that its leader, former New Jersey Governor John Corzine, is quitting the failing hedge fund company now swirling with investigations. Corzine will not take any severance
as part of his exit. Lookout cable and satellite industry, Google is pondering a move into the business. Wall Street Journal reports Google may test a bundled cable TV, internet, and phone service of its own, beginning in Kansas City. It's talking with cable channel operators about obtaining rights. It's hardly breaking news that the nation's home building industry continues its dark age, but fresh numbers from the National Association of Home Builders finds that 2011 is on pace to be the year in which 424,000 new single-family homes will have been built, the fewest of any year since the association began tracking home construction more than a half century ago. Wall Street may have difficulty making back-to-back stock rallies a three-peat. S&P futures are down a point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I've been riding since I was 17, flat out my whole life, had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I'd have taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
The Home Depot has come up with a new way of buying windows and patio doors. It's called Buy More, Save More pricing. Instant savings from $50 to $600 on all special order windows and patio doors. Instead of replacing a few windows right away and a few more later, this could let you do them all now, thanks to our all-new Buy More, Save More pricing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
AVG links millions of users to protect computers from digital threats. It's a point we wanted to demonstrate vividly. So we caged two people and dropped them in a jungle with a 500-pound tiger. And did we mention the cage was made of toothpicks? Millions of toothpicks.
He's got a tiger in a double cage!
How many toothpicks does it take to stop a tiger? Find out. AVG presents Tiger vs. Toothpicks at WeProtectUs.com.
Welcome back to the show.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It's Friday, and you know what that means. The end of a great week of shows is wrapped up with a chat with Joe DeSano. And yes, Jeff, it's almost time for breakfast meeting. Jeez, is food all you guys think about? Now, back to Tony.
And welcome back. You know, I asked Jeff, if you weren't listening in the last segment of the last hour, if he was ready for breakfast, and he responded in a ravenously crazed way. So I don't want to get my fingers near his mouth at this point. So I'm fortunate that I'm in a different room than him. It's scary. And Anthony, I'm praying for you, dude. Just stay away from Jeff until we eat. We'll be fine.
We're far apart. Don't worry.
Wow.
And I've been sucking down coffee, so.
Which is only going to make you hungrier. You know that.
Actually, for me, it fills me up. I'm less hungry the more coffee I drink.
But you're still going to eat, of course.
Oh, give me a break. I stopped drinking. I cut myself off long ago.
Okay, that's what I thought. Well, anyway, we've got... by the way, do we still have that audio from Senator Whitmer from yesterday?
Yes, sir.
All right, if you can grab that for me, I'm going to need it, but... let us say good morning to Joe DeSano. Of course, Joe is our political insider and partner in the... sure, we can do an intro. Let's intro Joe. I'll do that. Absolutely. Hit it.
It's time to talk politics with our political strategist
from Main Street Strategies,
Joe DeSano.
And from Main Street Strategies himself. By the way, we now have the Joe DeSano dancers. You just can't see them, but we're going to get a webcam so you can. Joe, welcome back.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Do you like the Joe DeSano dancers?
I love the concept. I think the execution we probably need to talk about.
Well, you know, kind of a go-go girl outfit kind of thing.
Oh,
spaghetti likes.
Okay, good. Then I think that I...
He didn't tell you who the dancers were yet, though.
Oh, well, you know what? I'll take my chances.
It's Anthony.
No, it is not. I said go-go girl. My son is not a go-go girl. All of a sudden...
Well, you know what? So even if he was, it don't make him a bad person.
You're right. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Actually, there would be. But for so many different reasons that I don't want to get into right now. It's my son. Damn it. Leave it alone. See, you turn something... Jeff, you turn something good into this. What are we going to do
hilarity
with
hilarity and hijinks?
Something like that. Something like that. Anyway, Joe, it's great to have you back on the show this week. It doesn't seem like it's been a week. This week just flew by. I want to. Do you have that Whitmer audio ready, Jeff?
Yeah, you want the whole thing?
Yeah, I want to play that, Joe. I want you to listen to Senator Gretchen Whitmer, the Democratic Minority Leader in the Senate, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
I personally have had some pretty hard days here in the Senate this term, whether it was what happened to the school aid fund, or raising pension taxes, or the continued assault on the middle class. I think this was my lowest point personally. Because here today, you claim to be protecting kids, and you're actually putting them in more danger. There are at least 10 Michigan children in the past decade whose deaths are directly attributable to bullying. I have their names and their ages here, but I can't read them. I think they've been too victimized as it is. But had this bill that you're going to pass today been law in effect while they were alive, how many of their deaths would have been prevented? Zero. You may be able to pat yourself on the back today and say that you did something, but in actuality, you're explicitly outlining how to get away with bullying. Your exceptions have swallowed the rule. As passed today, bullying kids is okay if a student, parent, teacher, or school employee can come up with a moral or religious reason for doing it. But bullying is not okay. We should be passing public policy that protects kids, from bullies, all bullies. But instead, you've set us back farther, creating a blueprint for bullying. So this might solve a political problem that the Republicans have. But be clear, you are papering over the problem that is a reality faced by hundreds of kids in Michigan schools every day. In fact, not only does this not protect kids who are bullied, it further endangers them by legitimizing excuses for tormenting a student. And the saddest and sickest irony of this whole thing is that it's called Math Safe School Law. And after the way that you've gutted it, it wouldn't have done a damn thing to save Matt. This is worse than doing nothing. It's a Republican license to bully. I ask that my comments be recorded in the journal as my no vote explanation.
Now, Joe, she's given some Senator Whitmer has given some passionate speeches from the Senate floor. This one is extraordinary.
It is extraordinary, and it's only in response to a extraordinary piece of legislation. You know, this legislation that was passed through the state Senate actually gives you a how-to manual to torment other children. I mean, let's think about that for a moment. If I decide that my religious beliefs are a clear motivation to do something, this absolves me of being persecuted or prosecuted in response to my actions.
Let me ask you a question. And this is a scenario. Let me just throw this out to you so I understand this correctly. Let's say that I'm being brought up in I'm being raised in a house that with fundamentalist religious overtones, and I'm taught by my mom and dad that homosexuality is not only wrong, it's sinful, and that you'll go to hell for it. I go to school. I happen to know that there's a young man or a young woman that happens to be homosexual, and I taunt them. In fact, I do my best as their classmate to try to talk them out of it, even if it means I've got to get physical with them. Is it okay under state law to do that now?
It seems to be. If the governor signs this legislation, I'm sure it'll sail right through the House. And this is where the rubber hits the road for the governor, because he went out and actively courted many gay Republicans to his side during the primary. In fact, there were Republicans, the evangelical Republicans, were aghast at the number of homosexuals at his primary victory party, and it was quite the buzz among the far righties. So he has an obligation to those folks, both politically and morally. And I hope to God that he shows his true colors in this legislation one way or another. I mean, I pray he doesn't sign this legislation. Even the father of the slain child who this legislation is named after has come out and said that it is a joke. It echoed Senator Whitmer's comments that it wouldn't have helped his son in the least. This is state and school sponsored bullying at this point. And, there are going to be some very, very serious repercussions if this actually becomes law. And this might be a chance for the governor to really make a stand and look the far righties in the eye and tell them no.
Okay, part of the problem that I'm having here is that, listen, as Democrats, it's really, really hard to see what Republicans have done. I've been on a rant twice this week, and I'm going to say it again. Legislative Republicans hate people. They do, Joe. They hate people. You know, they love...
They hate people, and they only worship power.
Yeah. And my word of the day today was transparency. Well, I think that Matt Safe school law is quite transparent, and it's sadly transparent because it says
it's nakedly transparent.
Yeah. And so, you know, where's, again, I'm going to ask the audience, where's the outrage? Are you willing to pick up the phone as you should be? I mean, people should be calling the state senate and their state senator and their state rep, and they should be screaming at them not to let this law go forward, but it will.
It'll sail through the House. But our only hope at this point is the governor gives in to his more moderate instincts, which he does have on occasion, and does. Makes a moral stand here, because this is just the latest moral indignation that comes out of the state legislature. And we can list them, you know, the list is far too long. But this, I think, is just stark in its hatred of people.
Republicans live with themselves? How can they live with themselves knowing that they've fashioned a piece of law that actually gives people literally the reason, the blueprint to bully?
Well, because they are enthralled by power. They're enthralled by the Tea Party, which loves this legislation. They're enthralled by the evangelical movement, which overlaps with the Tea Party and controls their political party. They'll have some complicated moralistic explanation to themselves. But at the end of the day, they know what they did. This is bumper sticker legislation. This isn't real bullying prevention, and it doesn't give real consequences to bullying. Instead, like I said at the top, it gives you a how-to manual if you can come up with some moral or religious justification for your actions. And, that's reprehensible. Don't call state senators. Ignore them. They're done. Call your state reps and ultimately flood the governor's phone lines on this. The governor is the last line of defense here. And honestly, I'm not sure he's strong enough to tell the whack jobs no.
Well, we got to give him reason to. Joe, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, the city of Detroit has some tough decision-making to do. Will the mayor or the city council win? Charles Pugh certainly has one point of view. The mayor has another, and you can bet Joe DeSoto has a point of view, and you're going to hear it after we take this break. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
We'll welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
It's the two-day sale at Toys R Us this Friday and Saturday. Doorbusters start Friday 3 p.m. through Saturday 1 p.m. Get 25% off top-selling Lego construction sets, plus 50% off hot toys from Razer, Disney, Princess, and more. Join Jeffrey for the ultimate kickoff to Christmas this Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. Try out this season's hottest toys and create your holiday wish list. Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store.
Exclusions apply. Store hours may vary. Visit a store or ToysRUs.com for offer details.
Get in the zone!
The best way to save your engine from premature wear is to change your oil regularly. The best way to save money along the way is to change it yourself. So come to AutoZone now for a 5-plus quart jug of Castrol conventional motor oil and a Bosch oil filter for just $12.99. That's a $19.99 sale price plus a $7 mailing rebate. See store for restrictions and details. Save your engine and money with the trusted advice at AutoZone. Because parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310
WDTW.
We represent the people of the city of Detroit. We are not talking about emergency management or any part of it. We feel like, we understand that a major part of the cost savings that we're going to need will come from union concessions. We understand that. But in the meantime, there are things that we can control right now. And we want to support the mayor. And so the point is that the city council is playing a major role in fashioning this plan. And we have the expertise and we also have the resolve to get it done.
Emergency financial manager talks started when Mayor Bing saw a confidential report that apparently shows the city possibly running out of money by February. But you heard President Pugh say there will be some tough decisions to make, like some of those union concessions. And even council member Chantel Jenkins getting up saying that they need to hone in on ways to control that cash flow. That's even a possibility. They're looking forward to coming up with solutions with Mayor Bing, but they're not ready to give it up. Live downtown, I'm Glenda Lewis. Back to you.
Had a lot of work to do down there, Glenda. Thank you so much.
And earlier today, Mayor Bing spoke to 7 Action News about the talk of an emergency manager for the city. He said the city is running out of cash fast, and next year it could have a problem meeting payroll. Here's what he said when we asked him if he would like to be the emergency manager.
I'd give it some consideration, but that's not something that's a driver for me. My driver is to try to make sure that we don't get to that point. But if we got there, I'd give it some serious thought, but I'm not making any commitments at all right now. My job is to try to make sure we manage the city as best we can so we never get there.
All right, Joe DeSano is back with us with Main Street Strategies. Joe, you heard Charles Pugh. You heard Dave Bing. Of course, this was all the talk yesterday, as it should be. This is big news coming out of the city of Detroit.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The mayor is manipulating the situation so that we exactly end up with him as financial manager. The deal's already been cut with Snyder that when the time is right, when they've conditioned the public to the idea that's when it'll spring. This is a filthy troika of Andy Dillon, the governor, and Mayor Bing ready to do exactly what they wanted to do when they passed this legislation, and that's break unions. The unions have given and given and given. They've gave back 10% of their pay last year. That's a significant amount for anyone. Pugh is exactly right, and he's made many political miscues during his time in office. But on this, he's exactly right. There are many structural things that the city council and the mayor can work together on to alleviate a lot of the budget deficit that exists. And it's upwards of $200 million, a significant sum. And Pugh is very, very honest when he says that more union concessions are going to be necessary. But where he's exactly correct is there are things that they can do immediately to alleviate some of this problem before they get to the point of union concessions, because these folks have given a lot back already. So the mayor's showing his union busting colors here, and you know, he's sitting up in the Coleman A. Young building, twiddling his fingers, just salivating over the thought of breaking AFSCME. You know, that's who we have as mayor of the city of Detroit, and you know, that's what we're dealing with, and we're just going to have to deal with that reality and make him pay. I think he's definitely a one-termer.
Well, there's no question that's true. Before we get to the phones, we've got a caller waiting. Before we get to the phones, though, it's clear that not only is this mayor a one-termer, there's no question this man's not a Democrat, is there?
Oh, I don't think he's ever really portrayed himself as a Democrat. You know, I mean, we got to go back and look how he made his money. He was he's one of these guys who white business owners go out and recruit and make the head of the company so that they can go qualify for minority contracts. That's exactly what he is. Not that there's anything wrong with it, because it's legitimate. It's a legitimate business deal. But he's a front man for business interests. Always has been, always will be.
All right, let's go to the phones. And, Joe, we will welcome Joe from East Point to First Shift. And good morning to you, Joe, in East Point. You're on the air with Joe DeSano.
Thank you. He basically covered, you know, some things I was going to say. I live in East Point and Detroit. I vote in Detroit. My property is still in Detroit, et cetera. So I have a great interest in who's mayor, who's not. Dave Banks certainly is not a mayor. So the governor appoints him, makes him emergency manager. You know, seems to me like there's a little conflict of interest there. In a sense, he's already the emergency manager, but he is completely reactive, nothing proactive. He has not done one thing to bring one job into the city. The man is incompetent. It is that simple. Until he can be removed, to make him emergency manager is like I let the fox into the hen house. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. And you were right, he is salivating. His sole purpose is to eradicate the unions, since his emergency managers seem to have the power of God and Jesus invested in him. But what will happen is that he might break the unions or try to break it. The city will just simply come to a halt. You know, nobody will work, period. Maybe they'll break him. Maybe we'll have to have an emergency election, which I would welcome. And with that, I'm going
to
listen.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Joe DeSano. What do you have to say?
What a great call. What a great call. I don't have much to add to that, because I think Joe pegs the situation quite clearly. You know, I think the city grinding to a halt is what we're looking at. I mean, you've got the DDOT people staying home today. And I think that's just the tip of the iceberg and a look into the future, if this is what happens. And so we're going to have a situation here where it's going to be, labor unrest. And I think it just goes back to just how awful this emergency manager, legislation is. Republicans like to say it's based on the, Jennifer Granholm version, but it really isn't. There's significant differences and significant, new powers granted to the emergency financial manager that did not exist previously. So Joe's dead on.
Let me remind the audience, and you know, not that I need to, but let me remind the audience, the reason the DDOT situation is unfolding the way it is because the mayor decided that he was going to lay off half the mechanics. So when you've only got half the workforce trying to fix the entire bus system, and they can't get to it because they don't have enough bodies, then he blames the union for not stepping up and fixing the buses when he's the one that laid them off to begin with.
Well, and that just goes back to my point where this is all a foregone conclusion. I mean, this is not a fair process. This is the mayor manipulating news events and manipulating funding to put the unions in a bad political situation. You know, he's very savvy in doing that, but I think, you know, from what you just said and from some of the news coverage I'm seeing the truth is starting to get out there.
All right, we got to take a quick break here. Joe DeSano again with Main Street Strategies is my guest. Herb in Northville, you will be up next, so just stay where you're at. We will get to you. And we got a lot more to cover as we work our way through this last half hour of this First Shift Friday program. Tony Truppiano with you. A pleasure to be with you, by the way. We'll take the break. Herb and Joe will be up with us right after we do this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Right now we have an accident blocking the shoulder, I-75 northbound at Adams. Also some stop and go, I-75 southbound between 12 mile and 8 mile. And that earlier accident has cleared on I-75 northbound at 11 mile. Just a little bit of a slow go, I-696 westbound between 11 mile and Cousins. Right now it is 40 degrees. Today you can expect a high of 52 and partly cloudy. And tonight looks like it's going to be 36 and clear. I'm Jillian, and you're listening to the Home for First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Tell me with whom you walk, goes the old adage, and I'll tell you who you are. Maybe you're wondering just who the heck this Rick Perry guy is, this loud-talking, slow-thinking Texas buckaroo who says he should be your president. His PR storyline is that he's just a straight-talking conservative politico out of Paint Rock, Texas. But it's been ages since Perry walked with the good folks of Paint Rock. Now in his 27th year in political office, this guy has consistently walked with Mr. Money and been the loyal servant of the corporate powers. Let's take a peek at Perry's piggy bank. Not his personal money, though it is curious how he became a millionaire while doing nothing but government work. Rather, check out the Texas Enterprise Fund, a stash of some $400 million tax dollars that Governor Perry has essentially used as a political slush fund. TEF is supposed to be a cache of state cash for him to dole out as incentives for corporations to create jobs. but its job creation performance is somewhere between pathetic and a scam. The fund has, however, been a boon for Perry's re-election campaigns and for the coffers of his corporate benefactors. For example, 20 of the governor's top corporate donors that have put a total of $6.5 million into his electioneering pockets have been rewarded with a stunning $116 million in TEF handouts. In a recent analysis, the watchdog group Texans for Public Justice found that Caterpillar gave $124,000 to Perry and got more than $9 million from TEF. Lockheed Martin put $232,000 in Perry's pay-to-play scheme and got $5 million back in state money. And GE put in $640,000 and got $4 million from the fund. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get the full report on Perry's piggy bank, go to tpj.org. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift,
Tom Shadyac, the writer and director of an amazing documentary titled I Am.
A key part of my journey was making this movie. Now, I had already started shifting. I had begun to wake up the principles that shocked me. I had no idea the way things work, the way we work, the way reality works. And understanding that I was using far too many resources and that I was potentially a part of the problem and not a part of the solution, not as much a part of the solution as I certainly wanted to be.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock, Joe DeSano again is with us. He is our political insider, is with us every Friday at this time. And, Joe, I do really treasure the time that we do get to spend together. We do want to go to the phones, and Herb has been patiently waiting a while. So Herb in Northfield joins us now. Herb, welcome back to the show. You're on the air with Joe DeSano.
Hey, hi. How you doing, Joe and Tony?
Hey, nice to hear from you, Herb.
I'm really thinking that this has to be, I mean, I know that it seems like the fix is in, it seems like it's a done deal, but the damage that such a declaration would do to everything positive that has happened to the city of Detroit over the last couple of years, I mean, it would just be overwhelmed. The narrative would simply be Detroit is insolvent, declares bankruptcy, and nobody will want to move there. Nobody will want to do business there going forward. It would be, taking a machete to like remove a splinter or something. It's massive overkill, I would think.
I don't disagree with that, Herb. And if you stop and think about, I mean, what you just said, and I happen to know you, and you're a very bright guy, and you're very, you're a very thoughtful person. Yeah, this is massive overkill. There's no question about that. But let's take it just one step deeper. Joe, what kind of a message does this send to the country? If we were to go forward as the mayor is insisting that we may have to do, what message does that send to the country?
I think it's really similar to the message we sent the world with the debt ceiling debate. It tells people that we're not serious. I think Herb's exactly right that this will strangle the new investment and the influx of people into the city. I was just reading an article last night from The Economist that, had three full pages about the resurgence of Detroit, the philanthropic investment, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers investments in the city. I think a the momentum will be stalled. And I think the momentum right now is clear. And this is all based on the political impetus of busting the unions. And I don't think they're looking at the big picture because, you know, heck, those union members are spending money in the community. So it's very dangerous situation. I think they're playing with fire. I think there are so many unintended consequences of this that, you know, I think this will blow up in their faces. And I think you're going to see people taken to the streets before too long.
Well, I think we have. I think the Occupy movement is partially a response to that.
Yeah, and I think I think this is only going to fuel the Occupy movement, and hopefully they can take it downtown instead of at the their current location. I think downtown is where they need to be.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's. We're going to try to get some more of this in. A really interesting thing is happening in the 11th congressional district, Joe DeSano. Amongst the Republicans, they're weighing in on a segment of the of an election that normally they stay out of, and I'm talking about school board elections. What's going on in the 11th?
Well, the 11th Congressional District Republicans have now weighed in on the Plymouth-Canton school board race. They're out there trying to game the system and are mailing very aggressively into the district for their slate of candidates. This is fairly unprecedented for a political party to weigh in. Often interest groups weigh in. I know I've done work for the Michigan AFL-CIO for school board elections in the past, and hopefully we'll continue to do so, but very rarely, and I can't think of another example of a local Republican or Democratic party actually out there spending money on behalf of candidates, or in this case, against candidates. It used to be that this was the domain of interest groups. And in fact, during the 80s and 90s, there was the phenomenon of stealth candidates where the religious right would get candidates on school boards who obscure their true leanings in order to get elected. Then once there, they would go off the deep end and try to do everything but burn books. So I think this is kind of, I can't say dangerous. I just think Democrats need to arm themselves for this kind of fight too. The Republicans have opened the door for this, and I think now Democrats have to step in with similar resources.
Well, there's no question that it does need to be responded to. And that's true. I happen to, and with all due respect to the 11th Congressional Democrats, I happen to be familiar with that group, and they're not the most proactive group in the world. They're not always the most common sense group of people. And I, you know, all due respect to the chairman of the 11th, their chairwoman, as this case is.
And in her defense, I mean, that split between the 11th District Democrats in Oakland and the 11th District Democrats in Wayne, that does kind of create a situation where there's no one clear voice. But, you know, that's a symptom of a much larger problem. But Democrats need to arm themselves, not just in the 11th Congressional District on this, because I think this is just a test case. I think you'll see this in other races, and now the push to move these elections to November and August instead of other election dates during the year, I think is only going to serve to make these races much more partisan in the future. I'm not sure necessarily that's good for the children, but hey, you know what? So much of this is forgotten about that it's really about children's education. And we have a political party that's pushing a clear agenda of charter schools, and again, coming back to that same thing of breaking unions.
Yeah, no question. There is a union breaking element to all of this. Very quickly, let's move on. I had mentioned a little earlier, Joe, that I got a note from the Recall Paul Scott campaign overnight asking me to ask my audience if there were any people that were available this weekend to head up to Flint and Genesee County to help with the recall effort. They need people to help knock doors and whatever. But, you know, all they have to do is just go on to Facebook. If you'll just search for Recall Paul Scott, It'll take you to their page, and all of the information's there. Let's talk a little bit. I mean, this is the last weekend before the election on Tuesday, Joe. I'm sure that Tuesday will be a busy day for folks like you that got a lot of horses in these races. But let's talk a little bit about the Paul Scott race. And, again, we know the governor has been working actively against recalls. We know the legislature is actually putting together new legislation that would change the way or the reasons we can recall. But I read a story the other day that I found to be very confusing, that State Senator John Gleason, who has absolutely no reason to be discussing this in any way, shape, or form anyway, is against the recall of Paul Scott. Why?
I think it's, first of all, let me say this. I think we do need to change the laws. I think I'm personally, as I've said in the show several times, against recalls. But Senator Gleason is protecting the political class, and he's protecting his friends. He's protecting himself in the future against recalls. You can always count on politicians to go out of their way to protect their friends and their political class. And he's out there, frankly, at this point, actively working against the recall of Paul Scott when frankly we need him on our team. He's a Democratic office holder. The Paul Scott should be recalled. He is an awful, disingenuous, frankly, liar. And to me, I think some of these other recalls are frivolous, but this one is grassroots oriented, and John Gleason needs to get out there and help. And you know, he's thinking of running for Congress here next in 2012, and I hope good Democrats remember where he was in this fight.
Yeah, well, I'll be sure to remind them, actually.
Well, I look forward to reminding them too if he puts his hat in the ring.
All right, last but not least, Jack Hogendyke. Anytime his name comes up, I chuckle. I can't take this guy seriously, and yet here he is making noise about running against Fred Upton again. What's going on over on the west side of the state?
Well, it's not just the west side of the state story. We've got a situation where Jack Hogendyke is considering running against Fred Upton. That's not necessarily new. He's done that in the past. But now we look like, it looks like the anti-union, pro-business at any cost Club for Growth could play significantly in the Upton state, or excuse me, the Upton Congressional District, as well as they're looking for a horse to back in the U.S. Senate primary, and they will not be with Pete Hoekstra. I would expect them to exert their financial muscle on behalf of Clark Durant in this race. This is only bad news for Pete Hoekstra. He is not Pete Hoekstra is very compromised, obviously, on his voting record. He likes to pretend he's a Tea Party candidate, and the reality is he isn't. He's a professional politician. So a little bit of history on Club for Growth is they are a wholly owned subsidiary of Wall Street interests. They have thrown millions upon millions of dollars in races. Their most successful race here in Michigan was in 2006 when they spent money on behalf of Tim Walberg, the probably the most extreme Republican.
Yeah,
in the state.
Joe, we got to get to the break. Why don't you hold on? We'll keep you a couple minutes on the other side because you're not done, and I don't want to cut you off there, but I got to take the break. So we'll be back.
Right on, man.
Joe DeSano will be with us. Stay with us, folks.
With Tony Triano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trivino
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trivino page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trivino on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trivino on Twitter.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trivino.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, we get ready to wrap things up. Joe DeSano is still with us. I couldn't just cut him off there, and he was in the middle of explaining something. So, Joe, welcome back. I'm going to let you finish your thought. It made no sense to push you away when you weren't done with your thought.
Well, I'm not sure I was making sense to begin with, but we'll be back here.
Yeah, but we invite you back every week anyway. What the hell is that all about?
Anyways, the Club for Growth is a wholly owned subsidiary of Wall Street. They have the financial muscle to move millions upon millions of dollars into this race. And it looks like they're coming to play in Michigan again on behalf of Clark Durant. This is awful news for Pete Hoekstra, because Pete Hoekstra is clearly in their target sights. And, I think we're looking at the glorious bloodbath in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate, and I just got to say to Club for Growth, come on in. We love you guys. Have fun. Have at it. Destroy each other. Spend all your money. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, and since we only really had one more issue, might as well go ahead and clean it up. And I find this fascinating because I don't get any of the Republican candidates, but Rick Perry in the state of Michigan might as well pack it up, and I don't think he's got any people here anyway. Herman Cain doing well in Michigan. Mitt Romney seems to be just hanging around, but I'm telling you, what a mess the Republicans, the presidential Republican candidates are. And of course, on Wednesday, I'll be over at Oakland U protesting their being here.
Oh, I'll probably see you. I'm going to try to sneak my way into the building.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, Mitt Romney's holding firm here with his hanging around in the mid-20s, which might be very, very well enough for him to ultimately win the nomination. Herman Cain's hanging in there tough, even after we have the rolling disclosure of his penis exposure. It doesn't seem to be hurting him very much, although I think that more of this, more details as they come up, I think will do much damage to him. Clearly, I think Perry is the one who would capitalize on a faltering Herman Cain. I'm not ready to count the Texas governor out just yet. I do think that even with his bizarre speech from last week in New Hampshire and some of the other problems he's had, I still think he's the person that's most in sync with the Republican base. I think this ultimately will come down to the battle of titans between Mitt Romney and Perry. I think Cain is a sideshow at best. Frankly, that's venturing into a minstrel sideshow at this point. So I think that we're still going to see the titanic battle between Perry and Romney, and I think both are eminently beatable, even in an awful economy. Neither of them look like they have the stature to fill the Oval Office, and I look forward to the president wiping either of them up quite easily.
All right. Well, Joe, again, as always, I want to thank you for your time. We'll look forward to having you on the show next Friday. Hopefully I'll see you Wednesday at Oakland University. In the meantime, if there's any way we can be of service to Main Street Strategies, know that we are here to do just that.
Just be my friend. That's all I ask.
I'll be your friend, Joe. I don't have any problem with that at all. Listen, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Have a good breakfast.
Absolutely, we will. Listen, before we get out of here today, I want to, I need, for a moment. I've been on the air since May 2nd, and many of you have reached out to me and asked me how you can join a union, yet very few of you have actually found the courage to do just that. That is, form a union. Listen, I'm not here to criticize you. I don't think people understand the commitment it takes, and I understand, and it's a challenge. There's no question. There is nothing easy about forming a union. With that said, there's help out there. I'm going to give you a phone number that I want you to call later on today, or if you need to think about it, call on Monday. But I really want you to put some thought into what's happening in your workplace. Do you want to make more money? Do you want better benefits? Do you want workplace protections, a safer work environment? I think you do, and I understand why you do. I mean, so many of you are not treated properly, and under a collective bargaining agreement, I can assure you, you would not be living the way you're living. Here's the number. Just write it down. 1-800-321-6406. That's 1-800-321-6406. And you can call that number. You can be anonymous. You can give your name. It's totally up to you. But you can ask any question you'd like to ask. No such thing as a stupid question when you call that number. Just let them know that you're interested in perhaps forming a union in your workplace and how you go about doing it. You're not going to get fired for making this phone call. Nobody's going to know you made the phone call. Again, it can be as anonymous as you want it to be. But I think what you're going to find out, that it's not nearly as difficult as you think. I'm not saying it's easy, all right? I honor that. But you have to start somewhere. So we set up a toll-free number so that you would have a starting off point. 1-800-321-6406. 1-800-321-6406. Give them a call. Just talk to them. And I think you might find that the work life you deserve is waiting for you. All right, that'll do it for us for today. Let me turn my attention to Jeff and Anthony as we get ready to wrap things up. Anthony, what do you have? What do you have on the? Can I get you to rake the leaves or something this weekend? Or this is your big birthday weekend, right?
Yes, it is.
So, like, are we kissing you goodbye after today? Will we not see you this weekend, or what?
Saturday, I'm gonna go see Johnson. So.
Oh, so you're going down to Ohio? Going to Ohio. All right. So you'll be gone Saturday into Sunday, but that's your plan for the weekend?
Yeah, no Lions game, so I can afford to miss Sunday.
All right. And Mr. Radford, your plans for the weekend? Do you have to work?
As of right now, no, I don't think so. I think I'm not sure, though. You always have to be cautious.
I don't understand that. When do you guys get your schedule?
Yeah, you get a, things are changing fluidly is what the is the problem here. I get a schedule a week or two in advance.
Fluidly.
Yeah, it's a good word.
Things are changing fluidly. So basically what they say is, here's your schedule, but expect it to change at any moment.
Right. No, that is exactly what the subject lines always say. But I am looking forward to either, I got two things I could choose from between for tonight. Maybe some bowling. I don't know. That sounds like fun.
Yes, it does.
With friends. Or, you know, go hang out with my cousins and stuff.
Now, being that you moved, do you, when you say hanging out with friends, do you have to go back to Onsted to do that, or do you do that in the area here somewhere?
No, it's kind of funny. My, you know, where I used to live was an hour away. My friends live half an hour, like right smack dab in the middle. So
oh.
I moved, I swung on the other side of them, but it's the same distance
same
away.
Distance,
Ann Arbor,
okay.
So, all right. Ann Arbor.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other. All right, guys, thanks for a great show all week long. I want to thank this wonderful audience. You've been amazing. Off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. tony@thetonyshow.org. If you get an opportunity on Sunday, come out to Hart Plaza, 2 o'clock, March with Labor from Hart Plaza to Grand Circus Park. In the meantime, as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Right now we have some stop-and-go traffic, I-696 westbound between Cousins and I-75. Also an accident blocking the shoulder, I-75 northbound at Adams. And some more stop-and-go, I-75 southbound between 12 Mile and 8 Mile. Right now it looks like it is 40 degrees out there and clear. You can expect a high of 52 today and partly cloudy. Tonight looks like it's going to be clear with a low of 36. I'm Jillian, and you're listening to The Home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.